The following episode is brought to you by Rorschach. Who is Rorschach? To find out, visit hearustalk.com/who is he.
Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is hearustalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Hello to all my fans. Thanks for sending me your letters. I really enjoy reading them while setting your fucking houses on fire. Keep your fucking opinions to yourself. I know I'm awesome. Enjoy the DJ New Style Show, you fucking dickheads.
Oh, snap! Yes. Yes. Welcome, welcome, one and all, to your Tuesday Night Miracle. That's right. This is the DJ New Style Show, exclusively on Hear Us Talk. That's hearustalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be. It's entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the goddamn internet. As always, please, spread the word, djnewstyleshow.com. It's where you can download all of these episodes. You can subscribe. There are what we like to call hyperlinks there, where you may access some more of my content, such as videos and basic gripes that I post in 140 fucking character chunks while shitting and, let's be honest, ducking out from behind my desk for a minute to 5 minutes at a clip. I don't know what the fuck's happened to my bowels. I'm not stealing time from the company, but I'm just becoming a lot more aware of how often I have to shit. And I have to say, it's a lot. It's a lot. At my previous job, I didn't have a walk to the bathroom. I was across from the goddamn shitter. So if I felt the inevitability of having to go, I could continue working for a little while longer. I could just keep going. I could finish a couple more things. Where you get to that point where, oh, it's go time. Oh, wait, no, it's not. It's not go time anymore. It disappeared temporarily, and it's going to come back with twice the force. But I can get a couple more things done because a couple of short yards away, I can go and do my duty. As children would fucking say, make a BM. But the thing about it is that now I have a walk. I have to go around the corner. I have to smile. I have to say hello. Hey, Ken. Hello. I don't say names because I don't remember names. So I found that a good way to not have to remember names is to never use them. A simple, hey, what's going on? Watch out. Here comes this guy that I don't remember his identity because I don't interact with him. But now that I have a fucking walk, a jaunt, a goddamn distance to cover, to take a shit, I've decided to posture myself in such a way that I could only appear as though I'm about to burst at any second. I walk with purpose now. Head down. I don't fucking meander. I don't get into little sidebar chats on the way. If I hear someone's just a foot behind me, shadowing me or drafting me, I don't even fucking turn my head. I don't even acknowledge it. Straight to the goddamn bathroom, straight to the stall, and every other fucking time I get in there, the entire place is occupied. All three fucking urinals or whatever it is. Are there three? Are there two? Whatever it is. All occupied. For some reason, both stalls filled, both urinals covered, both sinks. People are washing their fucking hands. There must have been some immediate exchange of shitting or pissing hardware that there are simultaneously people shitting and washing their hands like it's the seventh inning stretch. And so what do I have to do after I've walked with purpose to go expel my waste? I have to crunch it down and go back to my desk. I'm not going to hang out there and wait. I've sat next to people in the other stall. I've sat in a stall with people in the next stall. It's a goddamn, you know, like if you go in there and someone's in there, they're going to get out before you. You don't want to ever get shit lapped where you go in and you're on the bowl and someone comes in, they go in the next stall and they leave before you. You never want that to happen. At least I feel like I don't want it to happen. I'm dictating this as though it's a human value that everybody must follow, everybody must believe in. Listen, if you're a human, a common, decent, God-fearing human, you will shit and get out of the stall before new shitter leaves. It's only right. And I don't know, why do I put so much thought into this? I get it might be because I do it so often, and I think I counted today that I had to take 5 shits. And it's not as though I get there and, oh, it's just gas. It's a fucking shit every time. And I get embarrassed at the number of times I have to pull at wads of toilet paper. I start to think, is this person counting the number of times I'm wiping my ass? Are they really paying attention to it? Because I got news for you. When they take a shit and it sounds like somebody poked a fucking railroad spike in a basketball, I laugh a little bit. I hold my laughter back a little bit less each time I hear it. Eventually, I'll just be fucking roaring with laughter every time it sounds like you're pulling your boot out of mud. But to me, I don't know. I don't even know what the fuck I'm getting at. Because it's been a pretty scattered fucking week, if you ask me. A pretty fucking scattered goddamn week. And you may notice that Germ Freak, who is with me as always, who's been hyping the show up and doing a great job, by the way, of getting people interested this week, he's not on. And before, literally minutes before the show started, I received a text from him. No show. And I said, well, and he's given me shit the last few weeks of starting a little bit later. So I made an effort to start on time. And he sent it at about 8:50. And I kind of took it like as though he was taking a fucking jab at me. Just trying to rank out my fucking punctuality. So I gave him I hit him with a capital Y question mark. As is fashionable in the fucking the realm of sassy texting. I really fucking actually did a capital Y instead of typing Y out. Something I can't fucking stand whatso goddamn ever. And so he said no show, and he just got back to me saying that internet is sporadically going on and off. And, you know, I'm not going to harp on the fact that he spelled sporadically fucking incorrect, that he misspelled sporadically. I'm not gonna harp on that, the fact that he doesn't know how to spell a fucking word on a device that has fucking autocorrect, but he did. If you want to call the show, you can. The phone lines, unlike Germ Freak's internet connection, are working. The number is 316-768-4472. And let's take our first caller of the evening. Caller, you're on the DJ New Style Show. How are you?
Yes, hi, this is Foundry Music Jeff. How are you?
Jeff, how are you? What's going on?
It's funny how I've been watching Skype for like the last 15, 20 minutes, and the Germ Freak account is logged in and hasn't popped off once.
Interesting.
But that's neither here nor there.
I see him as offline, though. Don't take Skype's foibles out on him. Please. Skype has its problems.
I'm a little miffed considering the amount of shit he churned over the last 2 days.
He has been going at you quite a bit, and you kind of snapped back at him a little bit. I noticed that. Like you were having a little bit of a situation. I don't know if we even need to necessarily get into, but I know that Frank was trying to turn it into a fucking Tyson versus Buster Douglas, you know, some fiasco, and really needlessly sensationalizing some non-event. And you snap back at him, which I liked.
Well, I don't. There's if you go back to high school, there's three types of people. When it comes to a fight, there's the more assertive party, the more submissive party, and then there's the guy on the sidelines, just kind of cheering for something to happen.
Yeah,
just because they just want to see a fight. They're not emotionally invested.
He's not going to take the step to start his own, and he's not going to take the step to break one up. He's not going to act. He's just going to shout and holler as some kind of outside, balding, very shiny on top, kind of ill-informed, dare I say, dopey, you know, just an I want to say idiot. Would I be out of line, Jeff, if I said idiot on the sidelines?
I don't know. Like, he is a smart man. It's just that sometimes.
Oh, shut the fuck up, you idiot!
Whoa!
Yeah, sometimes what?
I don't even give a shit. Are you talking about your man fight with the purse carrying boy?
Look, this internet's working.
Interesting. Hello. Very interesting.
Somehow, Comcast was able to correct the mistakes within the last.
It's amazing.
Minutes.
It is an amazing thing.
Bob.
Hello? They sure have a fantastic customer support team.
Hello?
Yeah, Frank.
Can you? Fuck, it's going in and out.
Whoa.
No, are you
talking? Tell me about it. Tell me about it.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, yes.
Okay. Is this Jeffrey?
You couldn't be more clear,
It is Jeff. And just for the record, we're not really discussing the fight so much as we're discussing the fact that you've turned yourself into fucking Don King.
Oh, you're talking about the... Oh, I don't... I posted one thing on
Twitter. Can I ask you something?
I wasn't even there. I was just fucking around, Jeff. Calm down, will you? I don't even give a shit.
Hey, Frank, can I comment on something here completely unrelated to what we're talking about?
What?
Why does it sound as though you're going through menopause? What the fuck is with your voice?
I don't know.
You sound like Tom Hanks' mom in Big when she's really distraught that Todd Baskin.
How would you have
or
even
Josh Baskin?
Talk about a remote reference.
Just walking around with your hair all fucked up and in a goddamn nightgown because your kid's gone. You're all sad. Oh, you fucking screamed your heart out the night before. Why do you sound like this? Explain.
I don't know. Jeff, I posted one thing. I don't give a shit about that. I was only jerking around with you. Give me a break.
You posted a string of inflammatory tweets.
I wrote one thing. I'm just getting your goat, you stupid fuck. I wasn't even outside when it happened. I don't even know what the fuck even happened, to be honest with you.
So, hey, Jeff, would you say that Frank is a friend?
I would.
Okay. Would you say that what he's been doing is the course of action of a friend?
I'm making a big deal. I wasn't even outside when it happened. I was just jumping on the bandwagon when I saw everybody's tweets.
Frank, before you decide,
can I ask you a question just out of curiosity? And you can answer honestly or not, whatever. But have you ever in your life been in a fight?
Two.
He has been in a fight, and he's one for one. He's one for one, and. You know what? That one win is weighted because he did fight a black guy. He fought and beat up a black guy. So that's like one and a half wins.
Wait, you beat up a black guy?
He beat up a black guy. He's like one and a half and one.
Because he was black, or was he having problems?
No. Yeah, because, yes. Yeah, he was drinking from the wrong fountain, and Frank put a stop to it really quick in between science and world cultures. Yeah, exactly. But he beat up a black guy. That's a win and a half. Ask any black guy. They'd agree. Frank doesn't want to comment.
I don't think that word, the color, is really relevant to anything.
So you're devaluing your win?
No, I'm not. I mean, I have a, you know, I'm not, it's, whatever. It's irrelevant. Jeffrey, listen to me. I went yesterday. I saw people tweeting it. I jumped on the bandwagon. I'm just getting under your skin. I don't give two shits about that.
Okay.
Come on, stop.
There's a difference. The difference between what people were saying, which was a fundamental disagreement with the party I was having.
I'm on your side. I think what he did was
And
ridiculous.
You know what, Frank? Here's the goddamn fact.
I'm sorry, Frank. I have to say this. You wrote you're doing some pretty good shit talking, Jeff. Put your money where your mouth is.
Kidding around, you idiot! I don't even know what you said. I don't even know. I didn't even read all the tweets when I said that. I don't even know what the fuck's going on. I was talking out of my ass.
Right. Okay. Well,
Frank, what did you mean when you said "Battle of the Defunct Podcast Hosts"?
Oh,
that's right.
I thought the guy who carries the purse was gonna have the balls to call in tonight.
Yeah, but wait, Frank. Let me just say something. If Tony was on the phone right now, Tony from the Awful Hour, you would probably be calling Jeff something else.
No, I'm always.
You
I'm
are
always
a fucking flip flopper.
No, because Tony was a little touchy feely with me as well, and I wasn't into it either. He was trying to take my hat off and everything.
So
and
you
I,
were
I
just fucking around you with Jeff. You were just trying to rile him up a little.
Oh, of course. I like Jeff a lot. He
so
knows that.
So when you asked me, when I said we're not going to talk about it because we can't get both sides, and you replied, which pussy backed out? You didn't mean anything by that, right?
Well, only one pussy carries a bag, so obviously I knew what pussy it was.
So why are you calling you're calling Tony a pussy? I don't understand why.
I don't mean pussy in the homosexual sense. I just mean pussy in
fucking anatomical
pussy
sense.
In a homosexual sense.
Pardon
so
me?
Apparently he means it in the anatomical sense that he is actually a fucking vagina.
No, it's like, you know, just don't be a killjoy. Just call up, you know?
No, that is not what the fuck you meant.
That's my point.
That's not what you meant.
There is the third party who loves the joy of two people fighting.
That's him.
Hey, you know what? A lot of people would say that
they hate... get a fucking lozenge or a teaspoon of honey.
A lot of people would say that they hate drama. I love drama.
You know what? A lot of people who say drama are fucking assholes.
Exactly.
No, it's just arguments. It's problems. It's inconveniences. Like Ken, it's not a fucking theatrical production.
Ken,
stop calling it fucking drama,
you know,
fucking
Frank,
dope.
You're 52, right?
Ken, listen to me, Ken. You enjoy watching a good argument, don't you? Admit it.
I enjoy watching an argument, yes.
I enjoy watching a good debate. I don't like watching an argument.
I got news for you, Jeff. I love an argument. But you know what I hate is a middle-aged man who's still in his wonder years using fucking seventh-grade terms like drama.
I couldn't think of anything else.
I love drama and watching DVR'd episodes of The Hills and Audrina.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, you will in 5 years.
Anyway. No, but I don't even know what happened outside, and I'm on Jeff's side, and because he was touchy feely with me.
But do you understand? Like you desperate.
You're beating this to a fucking. You're beating this to a pulp. It's really irrelevant.
No, Frank.
I don't think so. I think it's a fundamental problem in your personality.
Jeff, can I express?
Jeff,
to you
I wasn't
something?
Being serious.
Shut
when I was
your
saying
fucking
that.
Mouth.
I was saying with a
shut
grin
your
on my
bald
face.
Fucking mouth.
You fucking 14-year-old beard faced dickweed.
That was real, you know, Frank. I bow to you. That was a clever string.
Well,
you
used that other joke again with the Wonder Years. You put that on Twitter.
Yeah, what? Can you stop fucking Bobby braiding this every time you fucking speak? Jesus Christ!
First of all, it was Peter Brady in that episode. It wasn't Bobby Brady. So get your Brady facts straight.
Sorry, I'm not old enough to really nail that reference. Sorry.
Okay, don't make a reference until you know the reference.
Okay, thank you. Anyway, Frank, I want to also underscore Jeff's point. I just said underscore Jeff's point. You can tell I live in a cubicle, guys. I'm going to really hammer it home and run up the fucking flagpole and underscore points.
You blue sky that point, Ken.
That's it. It's germane to the issue, Jeff, that all this week.
Let's discuss that offline.
yes, exactly. I want to just list some action items and then fucking and then bleed out all over a manila folder labeled fucking reports. I don't know. Frank has been itching to talk about this.
And about what?
About this whole incident involving you, Jeff, and Tony from the Awful
Hour. It didn't involve me at all. It wasn't having to do anything with me.
Did I fucking say you? I said you,
Yeah, you
Jeff.
Said me, Jeff, and Tony.
I'm talking
that's
to Jeff, you fucking
point,
unsaddled
right?
horse.
Didn't
Shut the
you.
Fuck up.
Oh.
You fucking...
what does that mean, unsaddled horse?
You're an unsaddled horse.
Oh, you're like a wild horse?
Yeah. Yeah, but the kind that's like that has a U shaped back. look who's in the chat room. By the way, every week Tuesday nights, hearustalk.com, we have a chat thing going on. We have the likes of Jeff, who's on the line, PA Russ from the Emerald Isle, and our buddy Ed McGrath, who conveniently has a brown username. Other things that are brown in Ed's life: his dick after he pays for a whore. Okay.
And the colors of the whores he picks.
Oh, really? Really? That could be. That could be. You know, you want to have a fucking discount day. Anyway, so Jeff, what I was saying before Frank decided to jump all over this is that, yeah, he's been really wanting to talk about this. I would only talk about it if I got both sides. I wanted to get both sides of it.
It's not my intention to disparage the man. I consider him a friend. I still do. We had a difference of opinion.
And this is Tony you were talking about?
Yes. And I'm speaking. And I want to speak about in this in a twice. General way.
Okay.
So as not to make it to reignite the sure. fight. But when I was young, I got into a number of fights. Something about me, I guess, rubbed people the wrong way, and they felt comfortable picking on me, and I had to, you know, kind of stake my claim. But there gets a point in your life where you become old enough to realize that your reputation around people doesn't matter. That if you got into a little spat with somebody, and other people are around, that the social consequences of not being tough are not quite as dramatic as they were back in high school. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, you know, you fuck up on the playground, someone's pushing you or just being alpha male, and you don't act, the stigma of that is going to follow you not only throughout high school, but maybe into college and part of your younger adult life. But I'm 32 now. I don't get I'm too old to make something of something unless, you know, I feel my personal life is either in danger or there's a risk of physical pain or whatever. So this past weekend we were enjoying my wife's 31st birthday.
Happy birthday, by the way.
32nd, sorry. 32nd
Jesus,
birthday.
Jesus, some husband you are.
Whatever.
Happy birthday last year.
She corrects me from downstairs. And we're outside, and I'm noticing Barbara. And,
on your wife's birthday, you're checking out some other broad.
No, I'm outside. I'm hanging out. I'm noticing that Barb's boyfriend and Tony
because you said you were noticing her. You would start to notice when.
No, what am I, Frank? I'm not in love with her.
Oh, Jesus, Frank, are you gonna?
What? Oh, he says that every fucking day. It's so fucking dry.
Anyway, Tony, I don't know if he was drunk or not. He didn't see it in the way, but he allowed, he put his hand on Barb's boyfriend's shoulder and allowed it to linger.
Oh, Jesus.
And, her boyfriend, does he have a name? Charlie, right?
Charles.
Frank?
You can't.
Yes, Charles.
He doesn't like Charlie?
No, I'm just trying to, I don't want to keep calling him Barb's boyfriend.
His name Charlie. Is Charles. Okay.
Charlie swatted his hand away.
Okay.
With like a sort of wax on, wax off motion.
Okay.
And, you know, just a little bit more aggressive than just simply taking the hand off the shoulder. And Tony took offense to that. I guess he didn't want to think of himself as the problem. And I came outside and I saw the inception of that particular argument. And I decided to throw a little flame on it, like, you know, doing what Frank was doing, basically. I'm no better. I guess Tony took ire with that. I don't know what his motivations were, but in jest, and I stress that in jest.
So we're totally getting your side of this, like, which is something, you know, I kind of wanted to get both sides of it.
I'm not in any way disparaging.
Okay, you're just saying objectively what happened.
My viewpoint.
Okay, and Frank, don't fucking snap at me, first of all.
Call Tony up, you guys.
And Can you, know, he gave me a slap to the face.
I'm sorry, Jeff. Please hold on a second. Frank, while Jeff is telling the story, please go fucking tell Donna to make some tea and get some fucking herbs in it. Get some fucking throat coat, some honey, something for that fucking terrible affliction you have in your voice. So Tony put his hand on your face.
Yes.
And that,
the only throat coat Frank like comes out of a penis.
Yes.
So yeah.
What the fuck was that? Mario just died in Donkey Kong.
slap my face, and it was at that moment I took an assess of the situation. I looked at Barb, looked at, and we it was just kind of like a little bit of like, what, you know, kind of a little shock.
Okay.
And I felt I had to do the obligatory like, oh man, like you just I have to be tough. So I did like the
Is
whole.
Is that
like,
what you did? Did you fucking puff your chest out?
No, but I felt it had to be responded in equal jest but physical. So I gave him like a stiff punch to the shoulder.
Oh, so you did? Okay, this is exactly what happened. And it's from what you're telling me, you basically did the we're still young enough to have guy sleepovers, fucking slapbox turned into fight move. That's what you did.
Right.
That's basically what we did. What you did.
Right, because when you're caught off guard, like, you know, if a guy steps to you in a bar and he's physical, you can handle that situation because you kind of you understand the social norms, right?
Yeah.
Like someone's trying to beat you up, you have to respond in kind. Friend tries to do an alpha male thing outside. It's a little bit more complicated, especially when you're at your wife's birthday party and in front of a bar and across the street from a police department, because you don't want to get into a fight. I'm not a fighter, you know? I don't do that.
Can you describe this slap, though? I mean, was it would you...
It wasn't enough to make my head turn, but there was a reverberation on my fat cheek. So that it was loud
so
enough.
So if it was shot with a phantom cam, your fucking jaw would have stayed in place, but your flesh would have went to the left.
A time lapse type of thing.
Yeah,
like the punch from the Matrix. No, it wasn't anything like that.
Okay.
So I thought that was done, and he did it again.
He did it again after you punched him.
Right.
So you gave him a quick little...
I sent the message through that punch. I was hoping that this was unacceptable, but I guess he perceived it as like, okay, now we're really having fun. I don't know.
You didn't even think to like say something like, don't put your fucking hand on my face.
No, I didn't say that.
You just gave him like the loose punch, and then it was to be understood right. that he should stop.
It was almost I wouldn't call it the slap that, say, in the 1800s would have you, you know, squaring off paces, you know, like a glove taken off the hand, that type of thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was enough to be like, okay, you get a punch for that. The second time I was like, all right, this is a little silly now. And I did a soft knee to the balls, very soft. It wasn't even, I was just like, okay, now I'm really uncomfortable.
Did you get aroused?
At which point I just kind of walked away.
Frank, I'm sorry. What did you say?
I want to know if Jeff got aroused when he kicked him in the nuts.
He didn't kick him. He softly kneed him. And he slid it back. He slid it back so slow so he could feel every groove and vein.
It was almost like a knee rubbing against the balls, almost like a gay thing.
Were you able to count the veins?
No.
I'm dragging your knee over it?
Gay.
And
Frank, what is that?
That's just an impression.
You're working on an impression?
I can't hear whatever. Frank, just, by the way.
Go ahead, Jeff, finish your story.
You can't hear Frank at all?
No, not at all.
Oh, I'm sorry. I believe I fucked that up. There you go. Frank, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, I hear him now.
Now, Jeff, are you a fan of a good impression?
I am.
Okay, well, Frank just said he's working on an impression, and he kind of gave us a little taste of it. Frank, why don't you just hit us with it again, please?
Mm-hmm. Gay.
You want to guess who that is, Jeff?
No.
Okay, so that's
gay.
No, doing it again doesn't make it good. Frank, why don't you? No one got it. What do you? Why don't you tell us?
Yay!
What were you going for?
A braying sheep.
Jeff, continue with your story, please.
What the fuck? I just asked you to say who it was.
It's. I don't even know who it is. I just heard it somewhere. That's all.
You told me who it was. You were working on this for a while, too.
I'm not working on anybody.
Frank, I don't want to embarrass you, but you said, hey, what do you think? You said, hey, what do you think of my new impression? And I go, who is he? He goes, that's Norm MacDonald. That's Norm MacDonald. That's my Norm MacDonald impression.
Wow.
Oh, man. Frank.
Jeff, go ahead.
You thought that was pretty good, Frank?
Nah, I'm just kidding.
Okay, so Jeff, so you gave him a subtle, gentle, almost sensual knee to the balls.
I would describe it exactly that way.
Yeah.
Because my heart wasn't in it. I didn't want to.
You didn't want to commit. You didn't want to commit.
I didn't want to hurt the guy. Because
you just,
I
wanted to rear back a little bit.
I'm a fan of The Awful Hour, and
yeah.
I've hung out with Tony in the past many times, and
you know what it is, Tony. When I got my rough cut denim on and my button down, I'm ready to hit the tasting menu, try some samples, but then we're gonna take it outside.
Oh shit.
You're gonna slap me, I'm gonna lightly punch you. But that's the precursor, baby. That's the precursor for me raising my knee.
I feel like I'm on hold.
And counting the rings on that fucking piece you got. All right, enough of that. Enough of that shit. So after the light knee job you gave him.
At which point I just kind of walked away because I didn't want to see where that was going.
But that was it.
That was it.
Okay.
And then I thought on it for 2 days. Because that's what I
Jeff,
do.
Jeff, why would you even ponder on it? It was so stupid to even think about it. I mean, what's the big
because
deal?
Because it wasn't – because
were you embarrassed at all that when he slapped you?
I was embarrassed.
Did it take you back to any moments from your childhood, from your adolescence?
Well, I wrote on Twitter, I said – I actually thanked him because I haven't had the thrill of being humiliated in some time, and it was an odd experience because he there's some feelings you forget.
You thanked him for it?
Yeah. That's nice. This, I've been kind of like trying to rediscover the youth inside me for a while now, trying to do the things that I used to do to try to improve the quality of my life, make me happy. And one of those things was, just going back to, what I did and did not do right in high school, to win the admiration and respect of the people around me. And that was not fighting. I just didn't fight. I if people picked on me, I just kind of took it.
You said no, then you would go, and then you'd tell. That's
never told.
Did.
I wasn't a rat.
Oh, so you didn't follow all of Webster's advice. Congratulations for not getting that job done.
Right.
So you were a little miffed, but really it was no big deal. I mean, you were at Frank's fucking send-off from youth in Hoboken. I remember Chris from Best in Show slapped the glasses off of Tony's face. Like, and they're really good friends, and they've hung out since.
Right.
Like, it's just, I think slapping is just a fucking thing that goes on. I mean, after seeing that, I thought, well, there's a friendship that's going to die. And then that wasn't the case. And then I heard about the slapping. I'm like, oh,
some people don't. Like, one time, I was in my mid-20s. One of my best friends, in front of my new girlfriend at the time, slapped me. And it was to let her know the type of sort of passive-aggressive douchebag I am, that I had no spine, no backbone, whatever. And, I don't know if that...
Yeah, but the thing is, Missy didn't care. She's still with you.
No, it was a previous girl. But,
so you lost her.
A new girl. And, it was... it was something that I hadn't forgiven for a long time, because it's just, I don't know, like, that to me, the face is sort of off limits.
He kind of slapped you like a girl, right?
Right.
And then what you did was, don't ruin this, Frank. Don't fucking ruin this.
Or I'll just sit silently then.
He slapped you like a girl, and then what you did was fucking hold it against him for several years, just like a girl would.
That's what you do want me to ruin? Listen.
You know what, Frank, how about you just continue to sit in silence?
No style.
You've been doing it.
No style. What would you do if Mad Tony slapped you in the face?
If he slapped me in the face, like out of nowhere, just like Jeff.
No, if what he did, how would you react in Jeffrey's place?
Like if I'm Jeff in that situation?
Yeah.
I probably would have followed through with the same kind of loose punch, but I also would have said something to him, like, you don't fucking touch my face. And if he did it again, there would be a fucking problem. I mean,
I love how you qualified it with fucking. See, that's the thing. The innate need for a guy to be tough is fascinating to me, because.
But it's not me trying to be tough. I genuinely, like, if someone held my hand to a fucking a campfire, and I managed to get it out, I'd tell them, you don't fucking do that. Don't put my hand in the. I don't like my hand being fucking burned, just like I don't like my face being fucking slapped. You effectively told it to him, but without words. The way I would say it is, I would fucking act and let it be known fucking as plain as day. And then if he took that and still decided it was cool to do it, then there would be a fucking issue.
So you could deal with it like matter of factly like that. There isn't any ego, kind of like. Wound up in the whole thing, you know what I mean?
I mean, I'm not gonna go and fucking clink glasses with him. I'm not gonna be happy that he did it to me. But right. As long as I express what I'm fucking thinking, like if I don't want to be slapped and I express that to him and he doesn't do it again, then we have an understanding.
Well, here's the other side of it. So,
like, hold on, Frank. You said he was touchy feely with you.
Yes, sir.
How did you handle it?
I told him to get the fuck off me.
And then he did.
Yes.
Well, there you go. If he did it again, what would you have done?
There'd be problems.
See?
There'd be fucking problems.
There'd be fucking problems.
But you see, I'm more concerned with the fact that he's touching me with his disgusting hands. You know, that's what I'm concerned about.
What if he, not that he touched you, would he grab your shoulder maybe?
No, I had my hat, he was trying to grab the hat off my head. And
okay, well that's, he's just doing some like schoolboy shit. He was dunking your pigtails in the inkwell because he liked you. But the thing is, Frank, what if he slapped you in the face? Not a disgusting.
I'd slap him back.
You would slap him back?
Yes.
What I'm trying to get at is I think that to Tony, slapping is no big deal. And you guys just don't get it because it's not part of your culture. Just like,
exactly.
Like just for example, you would never take a fucking dinner plate and just break it, but everybody at a Greek wedding does. Exactly. It's just a cultural thing.
Opa.
Opa. Thank you for that contribution, Frank. I appreciate that. Can you
hit us with the
Norm MacDonald again, please?
It's a cultural thing for people to so Tony's culture, the guy's half Italian, half South American. His culture is to slap people in the face. What the fuck
is that? I would say it's more of a borough of New York type of thing.
I think it's a hybrid of environment. You know, it's just what he does with his pals.
Are you saying because he comes from the inner city?
No, I didn't say that at all. I said it's a fun city. Like, for example, the fact that you listened to Tesla and Whitesnake well into the 2000.
never listened to Tesla or Whitesnake.
This year.
No, I never. Honestly, never did.
But in your circle of friends, when you had them, there were things that you did that were just unique to that group. And that's basically what I'm suggesting with him. He gets a little fucking rowdy with his fucking friends.
Maybe he was a little tipsy.
That's one thing I wanted to point out. Like,
And keep in mind, I've hung out with him a fucking cumulative 3 hours ever. So like I'm talking
as though
as
that
as
like what you do with your friends doesn't always translate to new people or strangers. Strangers or friends. And you know, most people understand that, and especially when it comes to, you know, physically touching another person. He didn't strike me as the type of guy who wouldn't understand that we didn't have the type of relationship the type of friendship, whatever, where that would be appropriate. Like, we don't know each other that well to be, you know what I mean? We've hung out with each other a handful of times.
Well,
and
Jeff,
we're certainly
let me ask
not
you
like
question.
Me and Frank or me and you, Ken, where we've known each other for a while and we have that camaraderie. And even then, I would
did
think
you
you
say,
would
did
that,
you say,
that wouldn't be welcome or acceptable.
Wait, what, if you slapped me?
Right. I don't. I mean, it's just. It just
even in the name
like,
of in the name of a good time, I wouldn't even be happy that it happened.
Right. I'm
just
saying. You know,
you might have just made him feel so at home that he kind of just like exhibited the behavior he does when, with all his friends. I mean, he was getting into a fucking some kind of a fucking slap boxing fit with Chris. So maybe that's just kind of how he rolls. You know,
right? But him and Chris are from the same place, and they've hung out a lot more than we have.
Yeah,
so
yeah, but you know
I'm,
what?
He I'm was starting. To, a stranger. I don't even know his last name, to be honest.
He was starting to tap into that, though. Is what I'm saying. Maybe he was having that right. good of a time that he's tapping into that feeling of being with his boys. So he just
no,
goes and slaps a complete stranger. Or maybe he's a loose cannon. It doesn't matter, honestly. He apologized, right? You guys are cool.
You yeah, no, we're really
you're cool. sure to, you're sure to. In, you're going to invite him to your next brie and fruit party.
All right. Now, see.
No, what I'm saying is, would you what type of affair would you consider inviting him to after that behavior?
A fondue tasting. I don't know. What do we facts do?
No, not even that it's fat. And I was trying to go for something somewhat, like, upscale. Maybe.
Oh.
Maybe,
oh, so you,
maybe
so you
dignified.
Think this is a classism thing?
I think that, like, maybe he was ready to throw down for like a blockbuster and pizza night, you know. But you had him out at a nice place.
My Upper East Side crowd can't hang with his Hell's Kitchen crowd. Is that
either way? I still agree. You know, it's whatever. It's a non-event, and Frank made a big fucking deal out of it.
I didn't make a big deal out of anything. I was just egging him on, just like Jeff was doing when he was touching the other guy, Charlie. So what's the don't make a big fucking deal about it.
Are you setting your boundary with me now? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, I'm setting your boundary with you.
You're setting my boundary with me.
Frank.
Yeah, Frank.
Pardon me, you skipped out for a second.
So what if Ken slapped you in the face?
I'd drop him like a bag of dirt.
The next time I see you, I'm going to slap you in the fucking face. Drop me like a bag of dirt, motherfucker. I you know what? I am going to slap you. Open fucking like you owe me money and like I'm of the race of the only person you've defeated. You will get that. Can you stop with the sinuses? Can you stop snorting?
Frank, when you see black people on the street, are you a little bit more confident now?
He's a little loose and at ease. He feels a little at ease. He's seen what they have to offer.
Jeff? Can you walk around the streets of Harlem knowing that they're not going to give you any guff?
The color is irrelevant to me.
Hmm. It's all shades of gray.
Oh, so you'll beat up any race. Is that how it goes?
Yeah.
I'm the lover, not a fighter.
Hmm. Let's ask Donna about that. the minute a pop-up appears on your fucking monitor, I guarantee the fighter comes to the surface. And you call her all kinds of fucking names. You even told me that. You called her awful names is what you told me.
Some things are left in private conversations.
I actually said it last week. And you kind of heard it and approved. Well, Jeff.
Yeah, another thing is weird. I don't even like watching that type of thing on television, you know? Like, I don't like watching boxing. I don't like watching MMA.
See, I like
it's just something about
that. I don't like it either. And I think the reason why men watch that is because it's a little homoerotic for them to watch these guys fighting. That's why I don't watch that kind of shit.
Really? You think men watch boxing to get off? Is that what you're saying?
No, it's a little homoerotic because they're watching their bodies. And they're like, when men look at muscle magazines. When men look at muscle magazines, it's a little homoerotic for them to be looking at men.
There's a wide fucking berth between looking at muscle magazines and watching MMA.
All right, let me ask you a question. Do you think it's a little – would you look at a man's muscle magazine if you were in a waiting room?
No.
Oh, of course
why
not?
Why do I want to check out a dude's fucking musculature?
So why do guys look at those kind of things then?
Because
they don't. What are you talking about, Frank? No one buys a muscle magazine unless
they're
a muscle
builder.
Yeah,
no one looks at those fucking muscle magazines.
So who buys them?
Muscle builders, they want to know like what stupid new creatine shake to buy to give them new fucking biceps.
I put this in the
or
blender.
Get people to fucking, you know, jerk off to, but no straight man who doesn't lift weights.
They flip the pages to see to and they cry because they don't have that vein popping out. Like, he's got an extra vein. Fucking gay. But Frank, to draw a parallel between that and MMA is a little bit absurd.
So you're saying whenever you go over someone's house and say you're invited to, like, you know, come watch this Tyson fight or whatever.
And you don't go because you think it's a circle jerk.
But at a bunch of guys who at any minute could break into blowing each other.
No, I was talking about Muscle Magazine.
The tension is so high.
Yeah. Frank thinks that the gasps and the cheers come at different parts, like the weigh-in. Instead of like the one punch knockout, they all fuck when they're hopping around and getting their fucking wind and throwing practice punches before the fucking match starts. That's Frank's favorite part. Frank, maybe how about this? Yeah. Maybe it's a little gay to look at MMA and think, oh, it's dudes in underwear wrestling. Maybe that's the gay perspective, Frank. Because when most people look at it,
I never mentioned anybody's underwear.
Well, you said it was fucking muscular dudes wrestling each other.
Now, don't put words in my mouth here, Sparky. Roll the tape.
Yeah, but the common argument from dudes, from guys like you, whether it's about WWE or whatever, it's fucking dudes in their underwear, dudes in fucking spandex rubbing against each other. It's fucking gay. Well, people who notice it is that, maybe they're a little suspect, Frank. How do you feel about yourself now?
I think you're trying to draw straws and pick its pencils.
Spencils?
Mm. Yeah.
No, but don't you think there's an element of, like, living vicariously through a tough guy just kind of builds up
that
your
that might
own
be
ego
a little
a
bit
man.
Fucking gay, too. Like, living vicariously through the fighter, that might be a little gay, but maybe, I don't know.
Well, you like wrestling when you were a kid, right?
Yeah.
I love wrestling. In fact, I'm now following Ratty Roddy Piper.
Did you say Ratty? You
said Ratty Roddy Piper.
You said Ratty Roddy.
Oh.
Maybe now. But yeah, I did, because there was like a competition aspect to it. There was like the superhero aspect.
A hero worship.
Yeah, some kind of hero worship. I guess you could say that too. Although that makes it a lot more gay. I gotta say, when you throw the word worship in there, it makes it a little more gay.
Like, you know, when you see like John McClane like take out a building full of terrorists, you're like, yeah, that's pretty badass. And I like badasses, that type of thing.
Wow.
Okay, you're taking it down a fucking whole different fucking road here.
No, but I'm saying, like, you know, when you see...
Yippee-ki-yay,
like, there was a fight.
I mean, like,
there was an MMA fight a couple of months ago where a guy ran up along the chain link fence and did a 360-degree kick, and it connected like something out of a martial arts movie.
Yeah, but...
And I admired the athleticism of that and the badassery of that.
Yeah,
and if it was always like that, I would watch it. But it's usually just like, you know, yeah, like punch him in the face. Like, I don't want to see you guys get punched in the face. I just don't.
Yeah.
Because punched in the face, and it hurts. And I don't know. I don't gain any pleasure in watching two people just fucking kill each other.
What about video games?
It's different. It's fake.
So you feel compassion for the huge men in the ring. Well, hurt his handsome face.
I'm 13-year-old Korean, and he's talking shit in my ear, and I feel like I have to step up.
Jeff, you are a multiplayer gamer. That is correct. You have played multiplayer games. We've done this. I want to let you know that this conversation is now involving three multiplayer video gamers. And when I say three, I mean that Frank, last night, are you blowing into the fucking microphone?
No, why?
Who was doing that? Jeff, was that you?
No, that was Frank.
Frank, you
motherfucker. What are you blowing into?
You know what? I can't wait the next time. I'm gonna be able to make a fucking Thanksgiving turkey out of the handprint I leave on your fucking bald head.
I'm not blowing anything. I'm talking to you, dude.
I just heard a fucking rush of air. Well,
I'm talking to you on the phone.
Are you hearing this, Jeff? Do you fucking
it's like an 80s rap record scratch? Yes, I hear it.
Anyway, you're having internet trouble.
I'm a gamer.
You are. Jeff, as if you followed the last few episodes, maybe you haven't, but Frank has stepped boldly into 2006 and and has purchased Grand Theft Auto 4. And last night marked the first time he's ever played a multiplayer video game. We played a few deathmatch games, and I didn't have my headset working, but Frank has Kinect, so I guess that has a built-in microphone. So I had him on speakerphone, and I was listening to him interact with his partners.
Tell me you recorded this.
I didn't get to. I couldn't. I didn't have it. But every time, like, there was a guy, his name was, like, Warrior King.
It was TRF Warrior.
Yeah, TRF Warrior.
From Oregon.
Yeah, he got to know the guy. He's like, so where are you from? Oh, wow, I'm from New Jersey. Oh, that's great. And he's like, so hey, Warrior. Warrior, can you hear me? You know the type of bullshit he does now whenever he's unsure that you can hear him? He just goes through that whole fucking cycle of instructions. He's like, Warrior, where are you? Warrior. Hey, Warrior. That didn't work, Warrior. He would always just call the guy fucking Warrior. He knew every intimate detail about the guy. He fucking lived in Oregon. He's a student. He's got to go to bed at 2:30, but he refused to even ask his name.
Only Frank uses GTA like Pal Talk.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It's not a chat room, Frank. He doesn't want to talk to you.
No, we were partners. We were in the thing together, so I wanted to get to know his action. He said to me, you want to get in my car? I won't do anything strange. That's what he said.
Oh,
to me.
Okay.
Well,
Jeff, what is your name on GTA 4 multiplayer?
I bet you two got into the same car and just drove around and found a nice dark alley.
No, you know what? When I found them in the game, because, by the way, it was two against one. I was the one. It was just him and his new boyfriend, Warrior. They were sitting on a fucking...
By the way, you know why that is, Frank? Because he is so completely clueless when it comes to these games that it has cost him a friendship.
He basically... When I found the two of them, because you see the mini-map, so I ran to them, and they were both just sitting in place on a ninja motorcycle. They weren't moving. They were just... They were just both sitting on a motorcycle, and Frank was on the back. I did him a favor, and I ran over the two of them.
Jeff, what is your name on GTA 4
Frank,
multiplayer?
When you drive around with Warrior, do you put your arms around his waist?
I don't know. Whatever it does, I don't know what the avatar does.
Frank, do you ever get a little bit frisky and change Warrior's radio station?
No, Jeffrey, what's your name
place.
On it, Jeff?
You got to listen to this tune and hear the words and feel the mood.
I know this great place in Vice City. They got great drinks.
Listen.
And Frank, why do you, what do you call the little picture that represents a person online? Like you, like your characters, like James Cameron made a movie where it was all blue people.
Avatar.
Okay. Yeah.
Listen to me.
Yeah, okay, because someone's saying that you said Avatar before.
Okay. Oh, whatever. Listen, I'm Uncovered Hook 83, Jeffrey.
First of all, I have no idea what the fuck...
Is your hook your penis?
He let them randomize a name for him. I've never heard of anybody doing this. I'm like, oh, what's your Xbox Live name? Germ Freak, The Germ Freak, Under Hook 83.
That's where he blows guys.
No, I just didn't get a chance to change it, so I can change it.
Oh.
Jeff, what's your name, Jeff, on there?
I'm not getting into that, Frank. All right, I don't want to know you on fucking GTA, because I haven't played it in 10 years.
I say, you know what? I'm thinking late night GTA 4 tonight. I'm thinking late night GTA 4 tonight. What do you think,
I don't even know,
Frank?
If I still have the CD.
You have to find it. We're on Xbox Live. We're shooting each other. And it feels just
it feels
like,
good just to fucking shoot DJ New Style on the fucking Fatch, man.
Now, Frank, have you patched your relationship with Ed McGrath, who just got tired of you calling him about how to complete various missions?
Missions? What missions? What missions are you talking about?
Jazz on GTA. Jeff, availing yourself of every possible
GTA
friendship.
With
that,
except the only
you know, you can
with,
Google
with,
these
with,
answers,
with
right?
Hey, Jeff, do you care to elaborate? I don't think any of us know what you're talking about.
Frank told me he doesn't speak to Ed anymore because he wouldn't answer the Ed got annoyed. He was asking him too many questions about GTA.
I never played GTA with Ed ever. I don't know what you're talking about. I never played GTA with Ed ever. Ken's the first place I played multiplayer GTA with. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm multiplayer, just to have.
What, I never played GTA with him at all.
So you never asked Ed McGrath, how do I complete this particular?
No, I didn't even have GTA. I bought GTA long after I even spoke with him.
Ooh.
That's how he told me. Maybe Ed McGrath can call in and clarify that.
Oh, I don't know. We'll see. If
Frank, you have no objections, by the way, your children playing the game? It's extremely violent.
Yeah, I've been chastising him for weeks because apparently his kids have really taken to the game. Right? Would you say that's a fair assessment, Frank?
They love it.
At this point, if you were to take the disc away, what kind of fucking upheaval
would
that
cause? We have taken
the
disc away, and he, there's a little bit of a temper tantrum, and then he just gets over it.
Oh, he does. Okay, so yeah. But you give it back to him, right?
Well, I like to play it after dinner, and so he comes down and watches me play it.
Okay.
By the way, I really hope your kids aren't going to school and bragging about this new game they got from their dad. Because if they're going around and telling people about how they have the new GTA game, it could be kind of embarrassing for
them. Well, you know, it's funny you mention that because a lot of it, he told me that a lot of his friends have it also, and so I guess it's not just me. So
316-768-4472.
It's like buying your kids Zubaz.
Yeah, but that would be fucking awesome. 316. Oh, Jesus, you're on the DJ New Style Show. Who's this? Okay, fantastic. They hung up. No, actually, fucking Jeff, you removed them from the conversation.
Oh, I thought that was someone who was just.
Jesus Christ! Like, you should not have this fucking power. 316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show. Who's this?
Hi, this is the aforementioned Ed.
Ed McGrath. Hey, you know, Ed, how are you? It's been a while since I've heard from you.
Ages. Yeah, it's been a little crazy around the office for me.
Jeff,
I've been many, about eight many, states.
Jeff, say hello to Ed.
Weeks.
Hello, Ed. How are you?
Frank, say hello to Ed.
Good.
What's up?
Hey, Frank. Wow, this is fun.
Okay. I can't do it. I can't do it.
Ed, is what I said true?
Yeah, I haven't talked. No, it's partially. So, Frank got a system. And he called a few times for questions.
You know what, Ed?
And whatnot.
Ed,
qualify a few times, please.
Ed, you know what? Fuck this.
You know, this isn't something I want to
fuck
discuss.
I want to say right now. Right now, Frank. Don't be pissed off because I'm going to defend you right now.
No, I'm not pissed. I'm not pissed off at him.
Ed, don't fucking sass me. Ed, I want you to apologize to Frank right now.
I don't. Understand what for?
You withheld your love from him. I don't. I'm just fucking around.
I don't want to know what you think goes on between the two of us.
I don't think anything gay. But now that you've mentioned it, now
right.
I do.
All right. Aww. Apparently, Frank does not want to discuss any of this. So I'm not going to let this happen.
I'm not mad at him. I'm not mad at him. I'm just more,
okay. Then
proving a point more than anything else.
Ed, you're not mad at him?
No.
Okay, then
no,
you know
I'm
what?
Not.
Why don't you show him that you're not mad at him and profess your love and your undying love for him right now?
I'm going to pass on that, but thanks for asking.
Also, please let him know how to beat the main boss on level 33.
Oh God, I got
pull in a china shop. Go
four levels on that. Four levels, five levels, and I gave up.
Okay.
That was about 3 years ago.
Yeah. Well, anyway, this couldn't be more awkward because Frank doesn't want to talk about this. Frank has his reasons, I'm guessing, because he hasn't told me, hasn't told anybody, and Ed. It seems like you're holding.
I need to know why Frank doesn't want to talk.
You're holding out an olive branch. Is that right, Ed?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what else to say.
Ed,
you know,
Ed, do you have any? Do you know any reason why Frank's being silent right now?
I don't know.
Ed, hold up your stereo above your head.
I don't think he's going to hear it from Chicago. It's an abruptly ended phone conversation. I just haven't talked to him since. What can I say? I've been running all around the freaking country the last 3 weeks. I don't know what to tell him.
But you guys are my Price Club, Abbott and Costello. You can't break up.
You know what? Sometimes things change, Jeff. Do you see? Sometimes things change. And, you know, wherever Ed and Frank's relationship evolves, wherever
romance.
If you want to say that, I'm not going to cheapen their love.
What, all right.
Okay, Frank, are you ready to speak?
Yes. There's nothing really, like Ed said, there's nothing really to talk about. We just haven't spoken in a while. It's not that, it's not, you know, it's not really a big deal. I'm not mad at him.
If it's not a big deal, why remain silent?
I was distracted with my daughter, if you don't mind. That's kind of personal right now. Mm. But listen to me.
So
no, what happened
she's up,
was.
Up pretty late and playing GTA 4. You really got
she's
a grip.
Not, first of all, it's my 11-year-old daughter, and she's not playing GTA.
Interesting.
She just told me not to eat something, that's all. Because when my kids make stuff, they put they have to
too
put
little, too on. Late.
Do not eat, Dad.
Sorry. Okay. Okay. So
fuck you.
I know. I'm sorry, Frank. It was. You know what? It was on a tee.
Yeah, right. I have a fat stomach. I know.
You know what, Frank? I'm gonna be.
Oh, that
right
was another
there.
Thing. He got very insulted when I pointed out.
Yeah. The first thing, fucking. This is what you know. Jeff thinks he's the fucking stellar of fashion. For Christ's sake, okay? I go there.
Stellar.
And I'm,
the
I'm
stellar wearing. Of fashion. Explain, Frank. Explain how he's the stellar of fashion.
Because he always thinks that he's fucking Calvin Klein the way he dresses and stuff like that.
The captain of couture. Go ahead.
Okay. he thinks he's the guy that designs the clothes.
No, what happened? No, whenever he sees me, he always has to comment about what I have on. I have my
because
leather
you
jacket
were wearing
on. He says,
is
that leather stretch?
Leather jacket?
You know, it's just embarrassing.
Wait, what was he wearing? Jeff, what was he wearing?
Wearing this skin tight Michael Knight from Knight Rider leather jacket. like after he was gonna leave Missy's party, he was gonna hop in Kit and fight crime. It was like it was so and it just accentuated his round belly. And he hates when I point out his round belly. But by the way,
listen to me, all right? Listen, you know how you don't like when Tony slaps you in the face, okay? Don't comment on my stomach every time I see you, okay? I'm asking you to stop doing that, okay?
Frank, you were wearing a tight leather jacket.
I was wearing a jacket that I have. Whether it was tight or not is because, you know,
is a given.
Well, oh, Jesus Christ. Because, I mean, the way Jeff is making you sound, it's as though you were going to leave his wife's birthday party to go to a club that has beds instead of fucking chairs.
No. It was more like he was going to
go
into
No, Jeff's the one who went to the gay club afterwards, not me.
The bar and brandish it like he was going to cut someone's throat. Mm. It was very rocking. And
okay.
I was glad to see him out, but the reason why I did that was that he had this sourpuss on his face that would not go away the entire night. Like he just didn't want to be there and complained from minute one about how far away Missy's party was from his house.
The best, you know, I'm getting text messages from people who attended the evening. They said the best part was when you kept lighting your cigarette from behind your head. and just yelling out, "Oh,
hickory dickory dock!"
Okay, well, this has just turned into a fuck. You know what? By the way, there's a lot of us connected here. We're all interacting, and you know what? I thank the internet and technology such as ICU2. ICU, the number 2.com, video conferencing. Hey, come on, people. It's what we do. It's how we live and breathe and connect and interact. And the people who've been doing it before anybody else, so they claim. And so ARPANET disputes. Is ICU 2, ICU2.com. Download. It's free to try. Put it on your fucking Windows computer. Turn your goddamn cam on. Show people that fucked up grill you got. That crooked ass nose, that wonky eye. Let them see your foibles, and you will see theirs. And together, you'll have a time. ICU2.com. But, you know, Frank, you have a point. I think that Jeff likes to get into that role of, like, the observational comic, and like, you're his muse.
He puts down other people to make himself feel good about himself.
No. No, I do not. I was having a go at you. It wasn't
all
that
right,
big.
I would appreciate that. Really bothers me, and I'd appreciate if you would not do that anymore.
Would you?
I would appreciate it if you give me my one joy in life.
Frank, do you want him to sincerely apologize?
Of course not. No. Oh, there's no need to apologize.
Okay, well then fuck it. Keep going, Jeff.
No, I'm not going to have him apologize because, you know, it's
next. Jeff. Can I ask you another question, Frank? What is it about you that just.
I know I'm overweight. We all know that. Okay? There's no need to point it out every 2 seconds.
Why you were in such a bad mood that night, because you didn't have one drink, which was odd because
I was driving.
Excuse me?
I was driving.
I thought Barb and her boyfriend drove you.
No, I drove.
Jeff, since he didn't want you to apologize, would you consider the next time you see him playing him like a bongo? Right around the belly button area? Have you ever considered doing that?
Yeah, I'll grab a group of friends and a ring stick.
Frank, how would you react?
What does this say here? Not nice to tweet people are dead threads.
Hmm. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, what's that about?
What are you talking about?
Hey, Ustreamer 58143, do your buddy a favor. Why don't you call in?
I don't know.
Right. Why don't you give us some context?
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't want to start anything, and I don't want to get into the middle of something.
Then why'd you bring it up?
Because it was in their fucking room.
Well, what is he talking about? You just mentioned it, and now it's what we're talking about, Frank. So enlighten me, because I don't fucking know.
I don't want to blow any cover or anything. So
who cares?
Let's just say that.
Who gives a shit?
Just say it.
And Ustreamer 585143.
Do you listen when we do the show? Because we talked about the dead Neo thing last week. Do you? Because you
are
were...
you talking about me?
No, the dead.
Or you, streamer 583143.
You.
Oh yeah, I know, but this not. This, I guess this person wasn't aware of that. I don't know.
I don't. I have no. Here's the fucking where I'm at right now. I have no idea what the fuck we're talking about.
People are thinking that you started tweets that people died.
I started them.
That's what I'm hearing.
You can check my tweets. I'm in reply to everybody else. Like, I replied to Sheepy, who put Rip Neo. Like, so, I don't know.
It was Sheepy, not Ken. Yeah. What are you talking about?
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about,
Frank. I'm not talking about anything.
Yeah, exactly.
And by the way,
hey Jeff, Jeff.
The beauty of this is that he's not dead, so it's a non-issue.
The tragedy of this is that he's not dead. After all, after the heartfelt send-off we gave him in that little New Balance shoebox that I floated down the river because there were no remains. I put a fucking Danny Tartable baseball card in a shoebox. And the starting lineup WWE figurine.
From a yarn spool, that's all.
Jesus. Frank, you're just waiting for me to say pickle barrel so you can pounce. Thank you, Jeff. Now I want you to thank Frank for derailing the whole fucking show.
Thank you, Frank. I don't want to belabor this issue. I just need to know why Frank couldn't have a good time on Friday.
I did have a good time. I don't know. I was a little tired, but I swear to God on my family, I did have a good time. I didn't drink because I was driving, and I did have a good time. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm sorry if you felt otherwise.
You had a big sourpuss on your face. That's all I'm saying.
He had a puss on his face.
I have the face I always have.
Frank, did you not say that you intentionally put a puss on your face when you go to your mother-in-law's house? Is that something you've said in the past? Yes or no? listeners of the show will know that this is, in fact, a yes.
I usually gauge Frank's good time by how many chairs he throws and how many times.
Yeah.
You know what? Can I be honest with you, Jeff? It was a little tight. The quarters were a little tight.
Okay.
You know, and it was hard to enjoy. But let me ask you a question, Kenny.
Sure.
Would you rather, like, see a group of people in a very crowded bar or see a bunch of your friends in, like, a living room setting?
But it was a birthday party, Frank.
I don't know what you like. What
would
do you mean?
Would you have her in your birthday in her living room for her birthday?
No, I'm just saying. I typically, you know, like if it was a living room setting, I'd probably be in a better mood. But it was just very crowded and tight, and
I thought most people take any opportunity to see their friends as a good thing.
And I drove out there, didn't I? Unlike some other people.
Yeah. Hey, right. Jeff. Here's what I think Frank is getting at.
I drove to New York.
He hasn't been able to wrap his head around the fact that the word party doesn't always mean cater to fare. Doesn't always mean fucking set up a tent in the backyard.
I had a delicious pizza before I went there.
Yeah, but no, like when you hear party, and then you go to a bar, you are instantly confused and bewildered because that's not a party to you. That's hanging out. But that's the hanging out is actually the party.
No, no, not at all. That's not the case. I had a good time, Jeff. I was tired. I drove to New York. I made the Shrek. If I didn't want to go, I wouldn't have made the Shrek out there, would I?
No, but you drive along all over Vice City with the Warrior. You don't have any problem with that.
Warrior, what are your favorite cereals? And secondary was trying to kill me. I was there fucking shooting both of them at the same time, and they're going off about this and that.
I was very tired, and you know, I just... What, you know, don't make this about me.
Oh, here's the thing. Barb is saying that you sat like a silent asshole in the car.
I was dead tired. I wanted
to get home.
I was tired. I couldn't even talk.
The whole ride home, you were a fucking lump. Not even one word.
I was tired.
I was tired.
What the hell was that? That
was just a well-timed glitch.
That was the ghost of parties past.
She enticed me. Oh, Jesus Christ. So you didn't say one fucking word. Did you say, were you talkative on the way up?
Yeah, very talkative.
Oh, wait. You drove.
Yes.
Oh, because you're saying I'm tired. I was tired. Like you have your head up against a window, like fucking
no,
Ratso,
you know,
Rizzo.
Driving
with
in the city
a
can
nosebleed.
Be very stressful. And I, as I'm driving, I want to make sure I'm not hitting people, and I had to keep quiet, and I was driving.
So you were behind the wheel, just like lurch, not even fucking saying anything.
Right, it was late at night.
Did you make
tired.
Both of them sit in the back, cabbie? Did you run a meter on the dash?
No.
Did you have a headset speaking some foreign tongue to somebody else? Frank, why do you always just get so freaked out driving into the city? It's not that big of a fucking deal.
It's a grid system. You can't ask for a better layout.
Yeah. So you drove, sat behind the wheel the entire time, not even saying a word. Was the radio off? Did you just drive to the soundtrack of the spinning tires?
I'm not sure if the radio was on or not.
I think Frank has this impression of the city like...
And Barb's saying the radio was off. You had a fucking completely silent ride home. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Like, it's the New York City from Taxi Driver. Like, he can just get pulled out of his car and mugged at any second.
Yeah, he's treating...
Or something. I don't know what turns him off to New York City.
He thinks
so
it's like
much.
He thinks it's like the road. He's going to enjoy that
no,
one Coca-Cola
like,
can and then
like
fucking avoid the cannibals.
City. It's chaos.
It's not chaos.
It's like the cabs have no... It's like no courtesy. The pedestrians have no courtesy. It's like a war zoning in
Frank,
New York City.
Frank, do you understand what chaos is? Because if you think that's chaos, there'd be deaths like every fucking 20 feet.
I'd love to take you to India where there's almost no traffic lights and there's no fixed direction of the road in which people are driving.
Yeah.
And everyone's driving cars that are just about to fall apart.
Yes.
And then
you have
can
you
see
ever
what
been
chaos
to India?
Really is. No, but I've seen
okay,
it on
then
television.
Don't make that point.
Ooh. Frank, why are you sassing Jeff? Why are you snapping back?
I'm not.
I
like.
Or South America, where I have seen it personally, where the taxi drivers don't obey a speed limit.
Frank, this is this is the same man you asked. You asked him to take you out on a fucking day trip to buy some fucking new duds. You fucking asshole.
No, listen to me. I like Jeff a lot. I was going to say I love him. I think he's one of the greatest guys around. And he did something for me a couple weeks ago, and I really appreciate it.
Okay. You would think I would get love for that, but whatever.
Wait, what?
You will get love for that. I love you.
What did you do, Jeff?
No. He helped me with something. It's nothing. It's nothing to talk about. But he just helped me with something. But whatever. It's irrelevant to the conversation.
You know, I helped you with something too, and I can go fuck myself, right?
It's kind of personal, Ken.
Oh, I'm sorry. Pardon me.
He helped me with he helped me install. No, it's really not personal.
Then why the fuck did you say it's personal? I'm not saying anything, and I'm acting all fucking sheepish because
Are you familiar with something called mint.com?
Yes.
Oh, he just helped me. He came and helped me set it up. That's all.
How is that a fucking personal issue?
I was confused for a minute.
He helped you get your finances in line.
Right, exactly.
In a read-only view. It's not like he fucking.
It's not read only.
It is read only.
No, you could input.
Yes, the city is chaos, but Frank's office is a paragon of order.
See the office.
Well, I have all my passwords in a good filing system.
Frank, be quiet. Jeff and I, having both seen your working conditions, we're now gonna have a little back and forth, compare notes.
I love how you embrace order in all aspects of your life.
Jeff, when you first turned the corner into that little rat's nest that we call Frank's home office.
You mean the breadwinner?
Yes. I have never mentioned that, by the way. I don't know if I was told not to mention that, but go ahead. So what was your first impression? Oh, wait, is that true? Barb is saying you can't even open the door all the way anymore? It's one of those doors that has just shit behind it. You have to squeeze. You have to ooze into the room. Anyway,
Let me start with the caveat that, of course, Frank, you and I know what we're not going to discuss. But Frank's filing system, and I use the word system loosely, is to stack files on top of each other 6 feet high.
Yeah, he has employed the same crack system that hoarders who are afraid to throw newspapers in the garbage have employed to keep themselves safe.
I said, Frank, why don't you get a filing cabinet? I have a system.
You could really, you could just show pictures of that room to the producers of Buried Alive and get on. That is just a paper heap of shit. And did you find the cans? Did you find the random cans that were consumed, last summer of Diet Pepsi?
No, I didn't see that.
Did you see the remember pile on the wall, like the vertical pile of things he needs to remember that are just fucking
right.
Duct tape?
If I ever can't find anything, it's always on my bulletin board, because if I can't remember something, it's always going to be on my...
What?
You've given up on words. You realize that?
So in the course of setting up Frank with Mint.com, and I don't know if you've used Mint.com, but what it basically does is that... It connects to your bank accounts and downloads your transactions from all your credit cards and bank accounts into one place so you can see a consolidated view of all of your financial spending and set budgets and so forth.
And the beauty of it is
in order to do so,
yes,
you have to supply Mint.com with your web login, whatever your username and password that you would need to get into each of the respective sites for your accounts. And Frank has all of his passwords...
Oh, I've seen it. The size that size 2 font that looks like the Declaration of Independence.
No. It's not on a computer. It's written on
a piece of paper.
What appears to be an 11-year-old's book report. Stapled, 20-25 pieces of paper stapled together with scratchings that you would only see on the walls of a schizophrenic insane asylum.
Yeah.
patient.
Yeah, exactly.
Going in every odd direction, diagonal, up, down, left, right.
Eventually,
it's like a Sudoku.
Eventually, it'll be a word search. Like right. he'll encounter that many like five or six more web services, and it'll look like a fucking word search, and then faggot will be circled diagonally.
And I'm like, Frank, why don't you take all these passwords and say, put them in a nice spreadsheet. You know, that way they're on the computer, they're organized, you can go up and down, find them. No, I have a system.
The best is, like, he'll say, can you do that remote access? I'm like, okay, what's your password? Hold on. And, like, fucking 25 minutes later, I don't know what it is.
Pick up that Torah of logins.
And, yes, and he unscrolls it, and he leaves a seat open for the password Elijah, and he still can't fucking find it.
It's like the map to find the canning of the crescent moon. It's just completely unintelligible.
Only the penitent man will log in.
And so one thing I learned about Frank is that when he does data entry, right, when he has to refer back and forth to the computer and the paper, instead of doing what most people do, which is open up the document to the page in question where he needs that information,
yep,
he will close it, immediately forget what login he was supposed to put in, and then have to go and shuffle and find the page that it was on. And I'm like, Frank, why don't you just keep it open and then refer to it as you're like, no.
Yeah, it's his system. You can't fuck with it. Frank, you have a system.
If you want to call it that, it just works. You know, it's what
I'm. No, it doesn't work. That's the problem that Jeff is illustrating. It has not ever worked.
You can't teach an old dog new tricks.
Highly inefficient. Yeah. Highly inefficient, Frank.
Yeah. So Jeff, what when you first saw it, what besides the little sign thing, but like what drew your eye first? What were you amazed by?
Just a couple of odd curiosities, like why he had two computers.
Backup. That's his
really?
Backup. Yes.
Wait. Why, Ken? Don't you have more than one computer, Ken?
Yeah, I do.
So, why is that such a big deal?
Yeah, but the thing is, I don't have them set up like two workstations. Like I have an intern working next to me.
Does someone else work with you, Frank? Does someone come here and sit next to you at this desk?
It's a backup computer in case this one goes down.
What happens if, for example, because you have nothing in digital form, if, say, you know, your house caught on fire, or at least just your office, because let's be honest, there is so much tinder in there. It looks like the final scene in Inglourious Basterds with the fucking reels of film in the back. Like, it's just a fire hazard waiting to happen.
What do you, Frank? What would you do if all your shit went up? Cry?
I don't. You know, I have my family in the house. I don't want to talk like that.
Everybody gets out. Everybody lives. The only thing that doesn't live are your fucking tons of papers.
Your files.
Well, I have Dropbox.com. Frank, so everything in there.
Frank would run in and out like Pee Wee in the pet shop. He would just come out with folder by folder. He would come out with a Pepsi can one fucking run. Come out with a chewed up pink highlighter, a bottle of no dose. He would be going in and out of this fucking burning house and eventually just faint with snakes in his hand for some reason.
like Pee Wee.
You know, it's that was the only part of that movie I laughed at when he came out with the snakes. Otherwise, it was a bore fest.
Frank.
Well, I'll go back to 1989 and let Pee Wee know.
Frank, why do you pride yourself in being unable to enjoy anything? You really do take pride in the fact that you have found a way to not find joy from anything.
Could you give me an example?
The fucking Pee Wee movie. You didn't laugh. You didn't enjoy anything.
There was only one part of the movie I laughed at, and that was the part.
But did you enjoy it? Did you like it?
Yeah, I enjoyed it, but I didn't say I didn't enjoy it. I just said I didn't laugh.
Who's cataloging laughs? You liked it, so why do you have to cut it down?
Why are we talking about something that happened 20 years ago?
Because you fucking are in this conversation, and your mouth opened, and words were said.
That Frank has wonderful children.
He does.
Very well-behaved, funny, smart kid.
Oh, you were at the house, so did you see the dogs?
I saw the dogs.
Did you see his fucking his animatronics?
I see.
Dog?
I made a point to look. Yeah,
with that fucking rickety, rusty gait, that fucking hopple. Like at least two of the legs don't work.
Also, pets. I didn't even know Frank had birds.
Oh yeah, I think I killed one of them. Frank, the
didn't strike me as a bird man.
Whenever I would
I'm
go,
not,
over
th- believe me.
Whenever I would go over there and we would have our Wii challenge and play the fucking Wii or whatever the fuck we did in between shooting videos, I would go over to that birdcage and I would fucking swing the hook so the fucking bird would get jostled and it would be
Frank, why don't you let him go free?
And it would be
I keep putting him in the fucking giraffe and these things come, they won't fucking die.
Yeah, but the thing about it, that one can't go
those,
free.
Those deadly giraffes.
Oh, you put them towards the draft.
What are they, 80-year-old fucking women?
Oh, their joints are going to really hurt tomorrow.
Well, you know, the cage is by the sliding glass door, so I open the sliding glass door, put them by the draft, and they still live.
Why don't you put them in the ice box? Why don't you put...
No, they live outside, Frank. That's their territory.
Why don't you turn home box up all the way and put them next to the speakers? The draft.
But Jeff is actually a dog person, so I think he liked and enjoyed my dogs.
Jeff,
I didn't like how you yelled at him.
Jeff, give me a
full... Well, I didn't want him touching you.
Give me a full review of his dogs.
They look quite old.
They are very old.
Little white.
Real brown
like
mouth.
Deal. What are they, Maltesers?
Crusty, yes. Gross mouth. Really crispy mouth hairs. Gross.
And I got the feeling that they tend to be an embarrassment to guests, to Frank.
No, I just didn't want them bothering you by jumping. Marvin was jumping up and nibbling your privates area, and I didn't want him to do that.
Oh, did Marvin have a hard on?
Doesn't Marvin always have a hard on?
Yes. So just that's my way of finding out if he died yet. So Frank. I'm glad that we have somebody that we can discuss all these observations with. Now, when you first entered the house, what did Frank ask of you? Did he ask you to remove your shoes?
Did you, Frank?
No.
Did he ask you to go into the small bathroom and wash your hands?
No, I don't believe so.
Interesting, because... If I go over there tomorrow, I'd still have to be asked to wash my hands.
The reason I didn't ask Jeff to do that is because I know he was helping me out. He was in a rush, and it was
tender.
The first time he was over, and I didn't want him. I didn't want him to be put off by me asking him to do that.
For those who haven't been there, and there's a lot of you,
say mostly everybody.
Ed's still on the phone, right?
Ooh. Oh, hey, Ed.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was on mute.
Okay.
What were you enjoying your deep dish pizza I saw you posted on Facebook? Oh.
Yeah, I did.
So what I'm saying, for whoever hasn't been there, going up to this front door and waiting for something to happen is kind of like it's an experience. Because when it does, there's an explosion of activity. Like... The fucking dogs are jumping.
About?
It's like Frank is greeting you, and simultaneously, either he's like holding a dog, like a fucking Maltese, like it's a baby. He's got it, and then you realize he's not holding like a baby. He's holding it so that you can see its dick or something like that. There's dogs jumping around. There's children milling about. Like it's a really like highly active thing to approach that house. And then when you get in, everything just calms down.
I love that. I love Frank's basement, though. It's like a little mini Toys R Us. Like he's got shelves with toys on it.
It's nice. Did you see the crawl space full of all the computers that died?
No. Why? You keeping those, Frank?
That's why he has two computers, because when one goes, he can just move his chair over and work on that one. And then later on in the day, after business hours, he takes that computer that's broken and just crams it in the crawl space.
Into the computer graveyard?
Yeah. If you go back far enough, the computers get bigger and bigger and whiter and whiter. It's amazing.
Frank, do you have any problem with... let me rephrase that. Don't you think your business would be more productive if you were a little bit more organized in there?
I have a problem with organization.
You have a tremendous problem with the organization.
Why don't you hire?
I'm brain damaged and I have trouble doing things.
Are you still doing the Zoloft?
I'm doing it, and I don't know if I made a mistake or what, because my brain is not getting better, and every night I'm getting nauseous.
So your brain is it as bad as it was when you're on Zoloft, or is it even worse?
It's just the same.
Oh,
what I think I have permanent brain damage, and I didn't think about suing.
Why are you taking Zoloft?
I was taking Zoloft for my OCD.
Are you still?
I'm down to 100 milligrams. I was taking 200 milligrams for 20 years. Now I'm down to 100 milligrams.
What are you taking for stomach distension?
Chicken wings.
I'm kidding, Frank.
Okay, hold on. I'm sorry, Frank. Please don't. You know, I gotta say, you are not a fat man.
No, I am fat. I know I'm fat. But
no, Frank, you're not fat.
No, I'm fat. There's no need to harp on it all.
But Frank, you're not fat.
Nah, you're jolly.
Remember when you played Wii Fit and it said you were a healthy weight?
Were the batteries in?
Oh, no, actually, no. It said no, you were morbidly obese. I forgot about that. I don't know. Jeff, I got to say, it's nice having you on. And I'm glad that you got to experience Frank's house.
Jeff, when are we going to have a podcast? Are you ever going to come back with your own podcast?
When are we
going to
have a podcast? You don't like your own?
No, he doesn't. He's so over it right now. Right, Frank?
No, Jeff, weren't you going to do something a few months ago by yourself? What's up with that?
Yeah, you were going to speak about Goodwill and stuff like that.
Yeah, that was bullshit.
Yeah, I know. Of course. No one would have ever listened to that.
No. No, I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Do you miss it?
Oh, I do.
Then why don't you just do it?
Yeah, but what's the state of Heroes Talk nowadays? Like with Best in the Show, their hiatus. I mean, what's going on? Where is Heroes Talk now?
Heroes Talk is a place where shows can happen. they
the
do
potential of greatness.
They here's what happened. They do on Tuesday nights. Periodically we get a new Awful Hour, and semi regularly we get a new Hate Us Talk. Which, by the way, I gotta say, since I live where I work now, my entire day is filled with podcasts, and I got to listen to episode 44 and 45 of Hate Us Talk, and it really is a fucking incredible show. And I have to say, Walter Sobchak has really, really taken what the show that he's done, and he's brought it into like a, it's almost like an opinion piece where you get to know him a little better, but you get like a little bit of insight on shit from a perspective you never would have really thought about. He's a really smart dude, and he does a great show. And although
is he still doing it with Jimmy?
Jimmy is recovering from gastric bypass. He's lost almost like 175 pounds.
Oh, get out!
Yeah, yeah, and yeah. That's like the type of transitional conversation.
Frank, would
you
ever consider doing
bus.
That?
Of course, I consider doing it, but I was told that I'm not obese enough to do it.
So why don't you just start porking it up there, buddy?
Well, that's what I'm doing. I'm starting
to
eat more
now.
Who told
you that, a blind doctor?
Well,
why don't you go on a diet, you know, the one that Jimmy J.J. Walker used to have, and then in a year's time, go get the fucking strap. Why don't you do
that?
Then
we can really get the scale.
Oh, Jesus, yeah. That whole scale thing never worked out, did it, Frank? I mean, it did get you, primed and excited for your little send-off that we had. It was good. But yeah, Hate Us Talk is really, it's really, really good. And it's one of a series of shows that I've been listening to. I've been catching a lot of them. If you go to the podcast recommendations on HeroesTalk.com, that's, you know, basically everything I listen to. And I don't know, Frank, you know, you have these, like, these voices or whatever that are telling you to do whatever the fuck you do. I don't know how OCD works. Have you ever thought of just drowning it out by listening to podcasts? Just like maybe putting
I,
on.
I need to be total silence when I do work. I can't hear anything because I won't be able to concentrate.
That explains the radio off while Barb and her boyfriend are just fucking stunned that their friend is shunning them for an entire ride from New York.
I'm not shutting them. It was 2:30 in the morning. You know, I was tired.
Was that
when
just a fucking?
When you're tired, you don't talk, do you?
Did DJ Who Kid just remix
just
his call?
What was
we just that call was just remixed on the fly. Frank, are you stuttering a lot more now? Are you noticing any ill effects like to that end?
You know, every once in a while I stutter, but it's not a permanent. You know, it's
yeah, okay. I mean,
sometimes I don't finish my words and sentences. I mean, I just drop
off.
Yeah,
I know. You actually start a sentence and then you end it with guttural noises. You know, my mom overheard you laughing like that, and she basically gave a look like, "What an asshole." Why would he fake laugh like that? She said
it's
when I hung up.
I swear to God, go fuck yourself. It's not a fake laugh. It's an impulse laugh.
Yeah.
No. Whatever. Hey Ken, I don't know if you would be interested in this or not, but
what's up?
There's a there's a convention called the New Media Expo, also known as Blog World.
Okay.
And it's basically for podcast hosts. They have it at the Javits Center, and. It's in May, and you know it's other podcast hosts out there, and if that's something that would be
in the Javits Center,
yeah,
in May,
yeah,
24th, 26th,
and it's all different types of podcast hosts, bloggers, and that type of thing, and I think it'd be a really good opportunity to just go and
it's during the week though, 24th through 26th, I can't do it during the week. I'm getting beaten down
take
with hours.
Take a day off.
I don't have any fucking vacation time yet.
That sucks.
New job and all that shit.
Well, I'm going to go.
If it was a weekend, I would be there. I would be there.
And your best friend Gary Vaynerchuk's going to be there. So.
Oh, he is my best friend. Yeah, you remember when he talked about that bottle of wine in that video? It was fucking incredible.
That got 2 million hits? Yes, I remember.
The guy is... It's infuriating, isn't it?
That guy could shit in a cup and get 2 million hits.
It's infuriating. He tweeted something where he's like, I just compared a wine to a cross between LeBron James and Natalie Portman. See yeah. how? And it was like a link to a video. And I just replied, let me guess. It was a rosé. Just a mix... Like, I don't know. What the fuck? How can you have that fucking sensitive of a palate that you can be descriptive with it? It just tastes like fucking wine. I'm sorry.
Some people have that. Some people have it with beer. Some people have it with peanut butter. They have peanut butter tasters out there.
No, they don't. You know what? It's all a fucking hoax, you know?
He's a highly accomplished man for someone who looks like Alex Webbs.
He looked like if Alex Webbs was located, like, near Japan... Or something like that, like further away from Chernobyl. He probably could have been Gary Vaynerchuk. Probably could have been. But instead, he looks like he has really big claws and chews through fucking rock and earth.
Well, I don't have a podcast right now. So
why don't you?
I'm going to say I'm a part of the DJ New Style show, and I'm going to go to this thing. And if you'd like, I can report back on what I saw. And if anybody wants to join me... feel free to DM me at You're So Shane, YOURESOSHAIN on Twitter.
Okay. Yeah, you know what? I would have gone with you if it wasn't during the week. My my time is really fucked up, but the weekends are okay. It's weird. It's very, very weird. I don't know. Why don't you just do your show? If you want to do a show, just fucking do a show.
Jeff, you could hold a show on your.
Frank,
when you were,
you could hold a show on your own. I don't know why you don't just do it.
Jeff, go. You're really good. Listen, I'm going to give Jeff a compliment. When you were had your hiatus from your other podcast, and you know you did a show a couple of times by yourself, it was fabulous.
Yeah, you know what I think.
Was it fabulous?
I'm paying you a compliment, Jeff. Take it.
I don't know. My opinion of that, Jeff, I thought it was really good when you did it by yourself. I thought it was even better. And
it was very intimate.
That's no insult to JMF. I just thought it was a different feeling, and I thought that show was really good. And I think that the reason you might have thought less of it is because of the opinion of some of your peers on Pal Talk.
Actually, I was going by the number of people in the room.
But in a Pal Talk room?
But don't go by that because people may download the show.
You see, right. they may download it. They may catch it on the 15th episode. But guess what? There never was one.
Yeah. Okay.
And you know the
all right. I've been begging my friend because I.
No, you don't need your fucking fuck your friend. Just do it yourself.
Yeah.
Just get off your fucking ass and do it yourself.
Right. You're right.
Gives a shit. And don't listen to what the people on fucking Pal Talk say. Because I know quite a few of them who were critical to your show that are still on the same fucking couch that they were on when they criticized your fucking show.
Right.
Putting on the same fucking overlays and participating in the same fucking little gags.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, just fucking do it. If you enjoy it, then fucking enjoy it. I got, you know, I was followed by an Octane fan on Twitter for a while, and I followed him back. And I noticed that, like, anytime someone would say something about the iPhone, he would just instantly shit on it and talk about how great the fucking Droid was. And then he would call
This
is Octane fan. And then anybody who had something to say about, well, I don't like it. It's not my thing. I really like Apple. He would call them, like, fucking Steve Jobs' cocksucking faggots. Or, like, he would really just assault them. And Twitter? You know the difference between Pal Talk and Twitter is that the people on Twitter would see these replies and it wouldn't fucking faze them. Cuz you know, you don't see the person. It means a lot less. And I don't know. I don't follow the guy anymore. So I don't really get to see any of his ill-advised tweets.
I noticed you refollowed me. What made you go away?
Here's what made me go away, and I'm gonna be completely straight with you, Jeff.
No, give it to me straight. Okay.
This is it. I think you're a great guy, but it's
oh my
me.
God, what are you breaking up with me?
But it's me, Jeff. I gotta sort this shit out that I gotta deal with. Hey, maybe in the future, sometime this crazy world could find us together as friends again.
Too much political stuff.
But you know what it was. The political shit, and I'm gonna say this, the matter of fact absolutes that you would post, like I don't know, it's almost as though there was like a really like,
you gotta have a, if you're gonna be an opinion guy, you gotta speak in absolutes, because if you're in the middle,
no, but it's not even that it's absolutes, it's almost like this is what I think. And I can't fucking fathom anyone thinking anything else.
You know what it is? Jeff thinks he's going to be discovered by his tweets. He thinks that some Hollywood mogul is going to discover him by his tweets.
And the other
no,
thing,
not do you want to tell? Do you want the honest reason why I do so much Huffington Post political stuff?
Why is that?
It's because if you comment enough times, you get a badge. So it's kind of like playing an Xbox game.
Oh Jesus!
In that you get an achievement.
Yeah.
And I really want that achievement of super user.
The other thing was, and since I have I got the internet now and I have cable, which is fucking fantastic.
Oh, welcome to 1994.
Thank you. Thank you, Frank.
You got the internet.
I'll let you know when you get there, you fucking asshole. By the way, Rusted Roots, awesome. Wait till you check them out, you fucking dope.
Frank got a new game called Dig Dug. It's amazing.
Street Fighter 2. Wait till Turbo comes out. It's fantastic. Yeah, I intend on adding you again on Facebook. But part of the thing that I've been seeing on Twitter is that you'll post something on Twitter and then you'll put that little fucking Facebook hashtag. So that now I know that if I'm your friend on Facebook,
you don't need to follow me on Facebook.
Everything
I have on Twitter is on Facebook.
I will have seen you on Twitter already. I don't know. I don't know. That bothers me.
Right. No. The reason I do that is because there's some people that are not on.
You know what? Here, I'm gonna check out your Twitter right now. I'm gonna tell you what I take exception with, just so you know. This could end poorly, but don't take it like that.
All right.
I'm gonna go through some of your tweets and I'm gonna read them to you. And Frank, I want your opinion as well. We're being completely honest, because Jeff, you know that.
Actually, the first one is a point I would love to talk to you about.
As far as I'm concerned, if you live in NYC, you pay NYC rates to live there. This is ridiculous. I don't even know what it is.
That article was about rent control, and there's a woman on Park Avenue who is paying $127 a month.
Good, you beat the system.
To live,
congratulations.
To live in the city. And it's my opinion that if you're going to live in the city, you should pay rates commensurate with everyone else and do away with this whole rent control shit, because that goes back to the day when, like, the city was for everybody. It's not anymore.
Okay, pause. Frank, do you care? This is how we're going to handle each of your news stories. Frank, do you care about this?
I could care less.
To be honest, I could care less, too. Next story.
Well, you don't want to live in the city. I do. And if I had the opportunity to pay $127 a month, I would jump on it in a heartbeat.
So you're jealous.
I'm extremely jealous, and everyone who lives in the city should be, because not only is that one of the most sought-after locations in the city, but you're paying less than someone would for a closet space in Kansas.
19 hours ago.
Explain to me how the rent control works. How is this somebody able to pay that much for that apartment?
See, Frank, you do care about this.
No, I'm just curious. Jeffrey, I'm assuming this is like an elderly woman of some sort. I mean, is that the rent control goes with the apartment? It doesn't go with the tenant, correct?
I'm actually not 100% sure how rent control works.
Great. You just went off about how you got to pay
NYC rates. It is for, I guess, people of lesser means to keep the places where they are.
So here's the question. If you decide to live your dream of living in the city, and you save up all this money, whatever, you decide, you know what, I'm going to go and hawk for a while and fucking, you know, really skimp so I can get this apartment and put all my money to it, and then you manage to pull a rent-controlled apartment, are you going to decline that somehow? Are you going to just pay extra to really cover the rates?
Honest,
otherwise,
to be 100% honest, yes, I would.
Fucking liar.
And no, I'm telling you right now, I if the place is worth it, I think you should pay what it's worth. Because if you don't, eventually down the line, they're going to find a way to squeeze you out, which is what they're trying to do with these people. To buy them out, offer them a huge sum of money to leave their apartment so that they can then rezone that as just a general rent area and get the money that they should be getting for that place. And when you think about it, it does the landlord a disservice too, because, you know, taxes and mortgage costs in the city must be astronomical.
Okay, this concludes the mayoral debate.
All right, go ahead.
Next story, 19 hours ago. Frank, again, we're going to give you 10 seconds to talk about the story, and then I'm going to ask Frank if he gives a shit, okay? 19 hours ago, you said, happy to say I've eaten at one of the restaurants on this list, Daniel, and it deserves to be there. This is now my bucket list, and it's a link to an article. Jeff, you have 20 seconds. Please go now.
No, it's a link to the article, I believe, the 20 best restaurants in the world, and I just feel happy that I was able to at least eat at one of them.
Okay, Frank, do you give a shit?
Don't give a fuck.
Okay, very good.
But you got to realize what he's doing is what everybody else is doing. You know, he's just posting, you know, drivel.
Well, you know what? I mean, that could be said about anybody's Twitter, I guess, too.
But if you're a foodie, that's definitely something that would
excuse me. I hear that term a lot. What the fuck is a foodie?
It's someone who eats fucking food. And then describes it as if it's the fucking Pieta.
So it's people that, as opposed to people who just go out to eat, it's an experience for them.
They use words like whimsy when they're eating a fucking salad with endives.
Right.
And they talk about fucking notes and tones and harkens and memories.
It's like describing food as art.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? And everybody has something to underscore that with. They have to tack on their little thought about, yeah, that's great, but are you getting the cranberry? Are you getting any cranberry there?
Ken, would you call yourself a foodie?
No, I would not call myself a foodie. I enjoy food, and I enjoy trying different foods, but I don't enjoy discussing it as art. I may think that it looks good, and I'll take a picture of it, but I think that picture appeals to more people than a vivid, poetic description of a fucking pizza with salmon on it. You know,
I don't know why I find this funny, but White S. Brent writes, "Ken is more of a duty."
yeah, it's true. It's true.
Cute place, never been.
What? What are you saying?
No, some people, like, if they go to a restaurant and they've never been there, they'll say, cute place, never been.
So. Who the fuck says that?
No one.
Barb.
Not a soul.
She says that.
Oh, okay.
She goes to a place, she goes, cute place, never been.
And anyway. so concludes Frank flirting with Barb's portion of the show.
Yeah. But go ahead, Jeff. What's your next tweet, Kenny?
Oh, okay. So we're looking for he's trying to level up on the Huffington Post. And April 13th gave us, so ends my 10-year effort to get Dr. Wu on Chinese television. Is that a funny thing? Or?
Yes, because apparently in China, they have banned all time travel television.
What's Dr. Wu?
Like Doctor Who?
Frank, do you care and do you understand the reference?
I don't. My head is exploding. Just I don't even know what the fuck you're even talking about.
I didn't get the reference. Because you know what it might be? I've never seen Doctor Who.
You should. It's good.
Oh, well, thank you.
Jeff, when you put these tweets, you want people to read these because you get some – you get a pleasure people reading your – enjoying your tweets. Isn't that correct?
It's, you know what? I have 300 and somewhat followers, and the only people that really respond are the people that directly know me. I'll get the occasional person I don't know, and it's disconcerting. Like I try to keep it general enough that it's not about my life specifically – that everyone can comment, and no one really does. So I don't even know. Like I put this out there, and no one reads it. So I don't even know what I'm doing sometimes when I tweet these things.
You know, I'm looking at my replies on Twitter. My name is DJ Newstyle, by the way. If you want to follow me, maybe. It takes a while to scroll down until someone replied to me that I don't know, and it's Monster Meech, who is a black man who can't fucking spell. And we met him on Tiny Chat. And the whole reason I even remember the guy is because I would ask him questions and his answers would ultimately lead to him killing a white person and then he would label that act as being real shit. So we started asking him things like, I don't know, so let's say a white man walks his dog past your house. First, I'd probably shoot the dog and then I'd air out his house. And that's real shit. Like, that's really the entire course of conversation with the guy. So I thought it would be funny to follow the guy. I think Goatweed followed him. Shawnee Murphy followed him. And periodically we'd retweet something and write, and that's real shit, to one of his tweets. But the guy is so fucking overbearing. I can't take
how
poorly.
You got him to
write
for nigga now.
Yeah. Get anybody to do it. Because I don't. Nobody does. The site is dead, but I can't bear to close it down.
Oh.
What?
By the way, Frank, your tweets aren't that much better.
I never claimed to be.
Jeff, do you want to review some of Oh, by the way, speaking of Twitter, Frank, I follow someone named Vagpoop. Are you aware of him?
Yes.
He posted a link, and it's a link to a product that boasts that it brings instant, long-lasting relief from burning and itching. In the form of a soft, flushable wipe. Now, what does that mean to you?
It means it's my savior.
It's a wipe that you can use to relieve itching. Anti-itch wipes.
Isn't that what witch hazel does?
Witch hazel!
Here's Frank's tweets.
Hey, Jeff, I don't claim to be...
Here we go, here we
Dickens,
go.
No,
okay?
No, wait, no, Frank, I want to know, would you think of using this product?
Absolutely.
It's from the makers of Vagisil.
Oh, no! No!
It's Vagisil anti-itch wipes.
I'll use it. I don't care.
You should use it and report back. Why don't you buy some of these?
Jeff, listen to me, Jeff. I'm not trying to win some type of fucking award with my tweets like you are, okay?
Really?
I don't put my tweets in there hoping that they're going to get me some kind of recognition.
April 15th, craving fountain soda.
Yeah, why don't you go? You know what? You're picking the shitty ones. I've had some good ones, fuckface.
Let's find a good one.
Yeah, let me
go back in time, motherfucker.
Why are there no? This is a topic, Frank.
Oh, if I had the ambition to be an audio producer as I once was, that would be in a remix.
This is a topic Frank brought up at the party. Why are there no dogs or other animals in GTA 4?
You know what? I thought that was an interesting question. There's no police dogs. There's no pets being walked in New York City. And I think it's because of PETA. You can depict the violent slaying and fucking murder of people, but not dogs.
Right. So there goes that. I would give up 10 years of my life if I could go back in time.
So,
to do the same thing.
I want you
to sit in a chair until the hydraulics give out.
No. Let me ask you that, Kenny. Would you give up 10 years of your life to go back into a period of your earlier in time?
10 years of your life.
To go back into a period like maybe when you were 10 years old or 20 years old.
But Frank, would you want to know how long you lived?
Yeah, see, that's the thing. People are like, I'd give off 10 years, you know, because it's the ones at the end, right? That's that Dennis Leary joke. But what if the last 10 years of your life are your fucking 40s or your 50s? I mean, you can do something in those years. Even if you're they're your 70s or your 80s even, you can still do a lot of shit. Like, you're giving away a fucking sizable chunk of your life to what? Relive adolescent awkwardness? To have boners that you just can't fucking get rid of because you rode in a car?
Go back to your weightlifting days?
Hey, Jeff, what about that picture I showed you with me holding my dog Coco? You said I look like a Pakistanian or something.
Yeah, you do.
Lebanese, yes.
Yep. That's on,
here's one.
That's on djnewstyle.tumblr.com, by the way.
Here's Frank fundamentally misunderstanding the Price is Right. As long as your bid comes closest to the suggested retail price, what difference does it make if you go over?
Who cares?
Exactly. The point of the game is come close to the price. So
no,
whether you're over or under, what the fuck difference does it make? You're still close.
They actually say without going over,
you.
Right. But forget that rule. I don't think that rule should be
forget
there.
Then forget the fact that anything's on the line. Just hang out in the fucking contestant row and talk about your hair.
Yet when they both overbid, then they say who's the closest when they both overbid.
You have all overbid. Frank, why is this such a hot button issue for you?
It's really not.
What are you lacking that you demand a change, a fundamental change to a game that has been around forever?
It's really not. It was just something I noticed.
They replaced Paradise with a parking lot.
April 10th, I find it very relaxing. I find it very relaxing watching my dogs lick each other.
Yes, and I dare anybody say otherwise. It's very relaxing to watch dogs play with them.
Lick each other.
Ken, be honest with me. Like, if you had your dog Teddy Boy and say Laddie Boy just playing and frolicking, you wouldn't find that to be relaxing?
It never happens because Teddy can't stop trying to fuck Laddie. Teddy now mounts my nephew. He is trying to fuck anything. Teddy is not going to be a playful type. But Frank, that's beside the point. Jeff, I need you to know something about Frank's tweets that he's not fucking leading on about. When he puts that little kind of
that non sequitur,
half of a sentence out there, that non sequitur, as you said, he's hoping to get a few bites. That's a lure. A few bites. He's casting that out into a pond.
Really? Because on the 28th of March, he wrote, mothballs equals one of my favorite smells. How many people could have been responding in kind?
But, like, it's an odd thing. It's not a complete thought. Like, oh, it's so gross. Will you try it? Like, he's dying to respond to somebody, but he never gets the fucking chance because no one gives a shit about his inane garbage.
All right, well, why don't you follow me then?
I'm going to unfollow you. Frank?
Yeah.
As I've promised, every show, I will kill off one of my social network friends.
Yes.
And this week, it is you.
Good.
Unfollowed.
Good.
It feels good to be able to do that for once, but at least I told you I was doing it. Fucking sixth grade girl. I'll show him, and then what he'll do is he'll notice I don't follow him anymore, and he'll come back to me.
Props to Koreg for sending me a brand new machine to replace the one that died.
Props.
What are we talking in the street vernacular now?
Wow. It was your machine fat? Fucking asshole. Anyway, you know what, Frank? I'm going to follow you again. Thank you. Would you be insulted if I followed you again?
You do whatever you want.
Okay.
But I don't put tweets out there. I put tweets out there. What the fuck was that?
Ed, are you still on the phone? He is. Ed is still on the fucking phone. He put himself on hold. Why is he still a part of this thing? Oh, my God. Oh, well, whatever. Frank, I want to ask you something. You're saying that you didn't...
Isn't the reason most people tweet is to get reactions from people?
Well, they call it microblogging, Frank. It's a way to get quick thoughts out without having to write an entire.
Yeah, those are all my quick thoughts.
Hey, Jeff, you know how you sometimes get shit for trying to reply to or write to famous TV chefs or something like that?
Oh God, I get that all the time.
Frank,
people hate when I
do that.
Do
you notice that Jeff does that sometimes? What do you think of someone that does that? They try to reach out to a celebrity.
I guess they're just going to try to get noticed. That's all.
April 8th from the Germ Freak at David Koechner.
Oh, yes. That's
your last SNL show where you played the death row inmate going to the electric chair equals classic.
Right. And he didn't fucking respond
textbook.
To me. So I fucking defriended him.
That is textbook kiss ass.
Frank. What did you want him to say,
Frank? Of course it is. And you've kissed somebody's ass too, but I can't remember.
Did you want him to say, you know what? You're the only one that noticed.
Thank you. That was my last episode.
It's on the show for one season.
It is a thrill, though, that sometimes, and it'll happen to me maybe once every 6 to 8 months, where someone who I respect will write back. And to me, that makes the entire wait worth it. Like the other day, I got a.
Give me a person who respects you.
There's a guy named Brian Michael Bendis. He's a comic book author, and his new TV show is coming out in a couple of weeks, months rather. And he wrote a tweet about an article that highlights his new comic book storyline, and I wrote something negative about it, and he wrote me back like, "Way to judge it before you read it," which was great. Even though I had gotten a negative reaction from someone that I admire, it was still a thrill to know that he's at least combing through the responses to see what people say. Because that humanizes a lot of people that you think wouldn't otherwise have the time to give a shit about the common man and his opinions.
That is a really good point. Twitter can humanize the people you'd never think just do the right everyday thing, but it can also dehumanize bald men who live in a fucking small office when he attacks people who are grieving Liz Taylor.
Are you really
grieving her death? Were you and Liz good friends? Come on, please. The only people...
About that. When people die, Frank's the first person to write, enough with the rest in peace. All right, we get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why
do you disagree? Do you disagree? The reason people are putting that is to get noticed. They're trying to get attention.
And what were you trying to do? Shut it down or get noticed?
Exactly.
You're trying to get noticed.
I'm trying to tell them that we know what their deal is. Hmm.
But don't you think it's like for example, like Albert Brooks just started tweeting and Billy Crystal started tweeting. And to see them tweet each other is like watching like a close-knit friendship that you wouldn't otherwise get to see unless you were like hanging out with them like on the set or something. And you could see how they talk to one another. And it's cool, like people watching. You know, I like that about Twitter.
Yeah. You know what I like to do? I like to read and write things while I shit. And savor the 5 minutes that I have away from my desk. That's where I'm at now.
You really hate your job, huh?
I love it. I swear to God, I love my job.
Do you love it because you don't do much, or do you love it because it's a real stepping stone to something greater?
I do a lot more than I did at my previous job. That's the.
Do you hear from people from your previous job at all?
I hate when it's like, no, that's high school. Like you're done. We're done.
The thing is,
chapter closed.
I do, and I kind of wanted to get into this today on this episode, and I guess I'll do it now as like kind of the closing thing. I have a friendship with some of the people that I used to work with, but
about the bosses you hated communally?
During the last week, I sat with a manager or one of the CTOs or whatever from Texas, the place that they wanted to move the company to. And we became friendly. And I was in a weak state. It was the last week of my job. I gave my email to everybody.
Oh, no.
Right? And I'm like, you know what? Email me, you know, keep in touch, blah, blah, blah. Usual shit. You don't expect it. And one of the things that this guy showed me over this week is that he was a big user of Google SketchUp. And if you don't know what that is, it's a free drawing tool where you can design stuff and model, create 3D models, and it's free. It's just a fucking free thing, and they use it to make some of the things that are plugged into Google Earth and stuff like that. And I've never been able to do anything amazing with it. I've seen people lay out their apartments or their rooms, and this guy showed me his SketchUp, and it was a complete textured 3D drawing of a fucking aquarium with layers, and he could move it, and it had every hinge mapped out, all the dimensions. It was fucking incredible. He ended up using it to build that thing. And I said, wow, that's great. I've never seen anything that advanced. Here's my email. You know, just send it to me. I'd like to take a look at it. Never got it. And then all of a sudden, 2 months later, a few days ago, I get an email saying, hey, by the way, here's that SketchUp of the aquarium. Did some more work to it. Make sure you have layers enabled. By the way, there were a couple problems that we had. Just wanted to get your input on. I'm just having trouble opening up some of this code. And to be honest, it would just be great if I could use some of your time to get
my
feet wet and
draw. And draw
a roadmap up and all this shit. And I'm thinking, well, okay, now I can't ever email anybody from work anymore. So I close that chapter in my mind, right? Get another email. Hey, I'm just wanted to see if you got a chance to take a look at that drawing. Yeah,
drawing.
And also let me know if you want to set up a time where we could have a discussion. Maybe do some, remote access type thing, aka free work. And so I ignore that, too. And then,
is it superior to yours, Ken?
Yeah, and he made this whole overture of, like, hey, I appreciate it. I would really appreciate it if we could contact you if we hit a dead end and we absolutely need your help. And I said, you know what? I'm going to say that would be fine, but you have to understand I'm at a new place. I'm not going to be able to respond during business hours. My time is going to be very limited. So if you could please exhaust all other options, blah, blah, blah. You know, horse shit. All. Well, now, Ken, what I'm going to tell you is that when someone leaves us, I treat it like an extended vacation, and we don't bother people on vacation. Only if we absolutely have to. Fast forward, here he is emailing me, right? And I'm ignoring him. And then I get a call from a random number now, and it's during my fucking workday. Like, in the middle of work, not during, like I'm in the middle of something, and I look at it, and I know I've been getting these emails, and I don't recognize the number or the area code, so I fucking see it on my iPhone, and I Google the number, and it's the company I used to work for. So I add it to a contact so that if I ever see it, I'll know it's absolutely them, and I hit decline. All of a sudden, a text message pops up. Hey, Ken, just want to make sure this is a good number for you. If I can reach you. Blah, blah, blah. Relentless. Two emails. No, actually, three emails as of today. Two text messages, two missed calls, and a fucking voicemail.
Are the text messages getting a little nasty at all, or that they're...
No, they're just like, I just want to make sure, use some of your time. It's not like maybe bill some of your time, but it's like use some of your time.
And I'm thinking,
and I'm
this
thinking,
is your old boss calling.
And I'm thinking,
pick up that phone.
I don't fucking work for you anymore. I don't fucking work for you anymore. Figure it out. One of the problems he's actually having is I don't know how to open the code. You double click a fucking icon to open the goddamn code. You think you would have tried that? Isn't that part of exhausting all other options?
So are you giving them the answer right now?
Have you ever considered saying, like, yeah, I'll help you out, but, you know, on a consulting basis, like, I'll charge you for your time or per incident, something like that?
Well, like I've received an email, and they want to know if I can help them. And it was from a different person now. I guess the guy that I ignored went back to my boss, who I am kind of friends with. You know, after working so long, you know, you drum up a friendship. And they have him emailing me now. And so I'm like, you know what? I'll set up a time. I'm very busy. I'll set up a time where I can speak to you on the phone. That's all I said. Speak to you on the phone. And what I'm going to say is, yeah, I don't know. I'm going to need to bill some hours for this because I can't figure it out on the phone right now. If that's how you'd like to pursue, then maybe we can get that fixed for you.
Is that what you want, though, or do you want
no!
to surprise and move on?
I want it to go away. I don't want to fucking even think about that shit anymore. I don't want to think about this shit anymore.
So
don't,
why not?
Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong.
Why not just set boundaries and say, like, I can no longer help you. I don't work there anymore. Just flat out emphatically say it.
Because, Jeff, I have a heart. I have a heart and I feel for him. I was the only one doing whatever I did.
Did they compensate you? Obviously, you left the job for some reason.
Well, they were moving the company to Texas. And the way I see it...
Right, but, you know, you can always...
Anybody
an
who...
IT job, you could telecommute, so... I mean,
no, you couldn't. They actually... They explicitly said, we would need you to come with us. They explicitly said that.
Oh, so now they want the best of both worlds. Okay.
Exactly!
So tell them to go fuck themselves, whatever.
Yeah. So, what I'm... Well, you know, I'm trying to get a free desk out of it. Because they're not taking the furniture with them. So I'm trying to butter them up for a nice fucking executive desk.
You're working under the assumption that it's going to end after you, you know, complete.
It's
this
not going to.
Yeah,
that's the thing. It's not going. Even if I did this for free, it's not going to end.
Turn it into a moneymaker or tell them to go away.
Well, Frank, do you remember the amount I quoted you on last week's episode?
Yeah, it's $325, I think, for 5 minutes.
That was 30 seconds.
Oh, 30 seconds.
Thank you. So,
but would your current company allow you to do extra work on the side?
I think as long as it's not in the same industry, so then yeah. But you know what? I'm gonna talk to him and let him know that this is not cool, not fucking cool. Not only did I spend
during your work,
not only not, here's the fucking problem. I spent the last week of work at a job I've been at for fucking like 9 years. I spent the last week working harder than ever to document fucking everything. I didn't get the luxury to just have that fucking last few days before summer feeling again. I didn't have that luxury. I went right into another fucking job. I gave that up just so I could make it a smooth transition for them. And
can
I get fucking walked on again. So you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to accidentally delete their fucking database. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not going to give them answers. I'm not even going to fucking ask them to do contracting work. I'm just going to say, hey, listen, to be honest, I've been working fucking, 11 hours a goddamn day. I don't remember the shit anymore.
Do you feel the thrill of starting a new job like the first day, like it's your first day in a new school?
There's a bit of that, but I think it's...
Like you can invent any personality you want.
It's not really like that.
They don't know you. Your whole reputation's completely fresh. It's a clean slate. You can basically establish whatever type of.
That's the line of thinking you have when your personality didn't work and it sucked.
Like Mine never did, by the way.
You start to think like that if you're a lower man on the totem pole than you want to be. I'm exactly. As I portray myself, I'm cool with that.
Cog on the wheel?
No. I mean, just like personable and not really stepped on. You know? Like not like the type of guy that somebody's going to walk over like, what do you mean a control can't have two values? That's retarded! Like no one's going to yell at my desk. You know? No one's going to fucking yell at me. Because
it's weird because people are feeling you out. They're trying to strike up conversation, get an idea of the type of person you are.
Yeah,
and you're sitting there deciding like what is the outwardly image I want to project for this new group of people that maybe didn't work in my previous job.
That's not the way I think about it. the way I think about it is you're definitely not entirely yourself, but you're more of a subset of yourself. You slowly let out more and more of who you are. Just like when you start dating a new girl, you know, like you're not going to be the guy who fucking, I don't know, can't keep your fucking hands off your balls or whatever, or just farts directly. Like if you sleep back to back, you fart right into her spine. Like, I mean, you're not going to be that guy right away.
Well, that's a sign of a good relationship, when you can actually be the person that you're going to be after you've known the person for a while. Like,
I mean,
I didn't put up any pretense when I started dating Missy, and I think it worked out a lot better because I didn't sell her a bill of goods.
Yeah, but Missy's also not providing you with insurance and a salary. So you kind of have to decide.
No, she is. Insurance, but go ahead.
Well, I mean, she's not your fucking employer, is what I'm saying. So you can't just go ahead and be brash and be whatever, because if that's not something that jibes with the goddamn corporate culture, then you're kind of fucked. So you slowly release yourself out. If it were a balloon deflating, it would be that before the little whistle, before the and just flying all over the place and being you. So it's a slow release of high-pressure air.
That's why I think Frank is in the best possible situation he could be in. Because if Frank worked corporate, I don't think that would work out well at all. Do you agree, Frank?
Well, you tried it for a little bit. I mean, you had to go into like a home office at one point, right?
I was never able to see myself, even in college, I was never able to see myself going to a routine 9-to-5 job wearing a tie and jacket. I could never see that.
9-to-5, I wish.
Is it the fakeness, the corporate fakeness?
It's the monotony and the minutiae and just doing the same thing every fucking day, getting up and going, getting up and going. It's just too much.
What do you do, race cars?
Yeah, you don't vary your life. your idea of living
no,
a fucking...
I mean, I could have a day where I don't want to do anything. I could have a day where I could do a lot. You know, it's like you have to go to... Every morning you got to get up and go to work, then come home. Get up, go to work, come home. You know, it's just like Jeff knows what I'm talking about. You know, if Jeff wants to sleep all day and work, you know, from midnight till 6 in the morning, he can do that. You know what I'm
That's
saying?
True.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
Yeah. I don't know. I think a lot of people also find comfort in the structure of it because they know that there's a clear boundary where, hey... Guess what? I'm out of work.
Cause you're,
whereas
I mean,
whereas you are in your workplace.
Ken, you're like
a
night owl. I mean, if you had flex time, would you go to work a little later in the day?
I have flex time, and I've been going to work early. You know why? Because when you go to work early, you get out early. That's what it is. So, I mean, I it's not exactly flex time where I work 2 hours one day or whatever, but like I can choose my hours, and
within what time frame?
Fuck, I could be there at 5:30 in the morning if I want to.
Oof,
I'm not though. I get there around 8:30, 8 o'clock, you know, and that's from years of going to work at 10, and working later because I had a commute. Now I don't really have a commute. Anyway, this is really coming off as fucking boring. Stupid shit, but I think the what was interesting is your idea of how you present yourself when you're met with entirely a sea of new faces. Now, I did know a few of the people that I work with now. I mean, I work with Shawnee Murphy, and I've met some of his who are now my coworkers prior to working there, but not everybody. And when you meet a new face, you don't know what makes that person tick. You don't know. Who they report to. You don't know who has their ear or, you know, whose ear they're in. So you got to walk on eggshells. Keith Fu said it. You're walking on eggshells for a very fucking long time. And there's a lot of anxiety with it. There really is. So it's really just a race for me to cover as much shit as I can, pick up as much as I can, and contribute as quick as possible. And I've already started contributing.
But you're happier at the new place?
To be perfectly honest, I had a really, really easy job and a huge office. Yeah, so I can't say that I'm necessarily happier, because I think the truth is I probably would have stayed at the other place if they weren't moving. But since they did, I went with this company, and I'm happy there. I guess that's the way to put it.
At least you're working. Now's not the time.
If I could digress and say something, Ken, you had mentioned to me, I said, is that the other company you had a lot of flexibility, and were there ever days that you really didn't do much? And you told me that there were, you know, weeks that you didn't do much.
there were. Just as you say, like, if I chose not to do something one day, you, personally, you would just pick it up whenever. Well, I knew exactly what I had to get done, and I would do it, whether that meant staying until 10 p.m. some nights, you know, or whatever. But there were a lot of dry spells. But in those times, I was learning things. I was handling small issues. So, I mean, I was constantly working, but was I really getting a lot done? Probably not at the other place. And, you know, that might have spoiled me for a little bit. But I'm back into it, and I'm back into a highly regimented place, and I think I'm doing pretty well with it. You know what I mean? So, anyway, Frank, you could never work with a company. You can never work in an office.
I just don't think I could take the minutia of it. And
can you stop saying fucking minutia?
It's minutia, isn't it? Is that the word? How do you say it? Minutia?
I just don't like hearing it from you.
Oh.
You're saying it as if you just peeled that little square off your one-a-day calendar. Like, who's Harry Crumb learning fallacy? Nobody will get that.
Could you keep your germ freakness
fallacy from
out of the office?
When you say my germ freakness, you mean what now? My germ freak persona or my...
Well, you know,
my
having to share a bathroom with an entire building worth of
that
people.
That would be very, very difficult. That would.
What about this? What about this? You go and work... What about you go and work for an office and you know for a fact that a few of the people have heard this show and you don't know who? What about that scenario? How would you feel about that?
Uneasy.
Well, guess what? That's where I'm at. I have a feeling. I mean, I know at least
I
one of
them. I thought
you
knew who was listening.
I know a couple of them. I don't know if anybody else have heard it. I don't know.
Could you work for Ken? Like, if Ken was your boss, Frank, could you take orders from Ken, report to Ken?
I can because I respect Ken, so that's why I could.
That's very nice. Thank you. And I would take great pleasure in fucking making you suffer for your sloppiness.
No. See, I could take because I, but you know, then if somebody you can't take. It's hard to take. Like Ken, did you ever take orders from somebody that you didn't?
Yeah,
respect?
You don't respect my fucking beard either. That's the thing.
No, seriously, Ken. Was there anybody that you didn't respect that it's hard for you to take orders from?
I mean, there were people that would try to like. Give
like
orders?
That one guy who told you to photocopy something. Oh, I'm your boss. I think I'm your photocopy guy now. You're my boss.
Oh, if you want to do the entire fucking story, go ahead. I mean, you just did it.
No, I enjoy when you do it.
No, because you just fucking ruined it. Do you understand? You just fucking ruined it. Let's do some Seinfeld impressions. Go ahead. Do a Seinfeld impression, Frank. Real quick. Do you see? It's that exact same thing. You know, I beat you to it. I do the fucking Seinfeld impression before you do, and you get really aggravated.
How does it feel now?
It feels pretty rotten.
Well, there you go.
I will not applaud. This show's been going on for 2.5 hours, so why don't we just wrap it up? Jeff, I got to thank you for sitting in with us here. Episode 298. Isn't that amazing?
Yes. Please go and check out Colin Quinn's Long Story Short on HBO.
I watched it. It was
so fucking amazing.
I loved it. I'm not going to say he killed. I'm not going to say the word brilliant like I just fucking came over from England.
Smashing.
It was really good, and I enjoyed it. Thank you. I'm not a goddamn comedy insider. He killed, dude! Oh, he destroyed! Shut up. It was good, and I liked it a lot. And I thought it was very smart. But what was your favorite part of it, Jeff?
I just love the parallels he drew from how we act now to how we acted back then.
So you liked the entire show?
It was just a brilliant
Frank,
concept. Like, you know, nothing ever changes. It's just, you know, technology's a little bit better.
That's right. Well, thank you, Jeff, for sitting in. Do you have anything you'd like to promote? Your upcoming podcast?
In the next 2 weeks, I will be doing Stand Up in the City. I'll be putting that on my Twitter if anybody wants to come out and see me at an open mic.
Okay, Frank, we'll see you there. Frank, do you have anything you want to say?
Good night.
That's it?
Not unless it's a Vice City comedy club.
Well, thank you very much for tuning in. DJNewStyleShow.com. download, subscribe, tell your fucking friends, pass it around. If you enjoy it, maybe someone else will. And also,
oh, you want to move this over to the Tiny Chat Hear Us Talk room afterwards if anyone wants to come in and hang out?
If anybody ever wants to go there, tinychat.com/hearustalk. And also, facebook.com/TheDJNewStyleShow. It would really, really, really lighten my day and brighten my horizon if you go over there and click like and maybe drop a comment on the fucking page like the piece of shit cocksucker you might be, you fucking asshole. Thank you very much. Go there. Go to the Twitter. Subscribe. I'm getting exhausted. Thank you very much, everybody. I love you all. And eat my shit. And suck my dick. You motherfuckers.